The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. Just a couple of days removed from our almost 3 hour long episode on the half year awards, Dylan. We are right back with a new episode because, Jesus Christ, there is a lot going on.
An unexpected return, but a happy one. I was very proud of the last episode. A lot of people were very happy with that, and we got some nice comments. So thank you to everyone who listened to the Half Year Awards show. And many people also, one thing I liked, and this is one of my goals when we talked about it, is that I really felt like a lot of people had dipped out on the empty arena era of wrestling. And somebody actually gave me a comment that was like, I didn't want to send in awards because I didn't watch a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's why we did the show. So you can go back and listen, and now you have a really quick way to catch up with all the stuff that you missed. Well, all the best stuff that you missed. We didn't cover any scrub stuff. It was all good stuff. From many, many companies, too. 13 different companies we had represented as well. And I mentioned that. I think that's something very cool and unique about this show that you won't get on many other places. So I'm glad that everyone out there appreciated it as well. And hopefully they enjoyed this, our return to our normal schedule now, even though it was more of a non-normal day in wrestling. So, but still, hopefully it's the same quality that everybody likes and expects from the Eastern Lariat.
Yeah, I'm really thankful for the feedback, too. I really liked that a lot of people were really into the show, and it was a fun ride through the entire Japanese wrestling scene. And if I'm looking at my notes that I took for this show today, Dylan, is going to be no different, because I got a lot of companies listed here that I want to talk about with you. In some cases, probably in a rapid-fire fashion, because there's so many things to go over. And first of all, I want to go over the most important topic that we have right now worldwide, because the coronavirus situation in Japan, it seemed to be under control in the last couple of weeks that led to places opening up again and promotions being able to operate on a rather small level of fans they let into their shows. But if you're looking at numbers, in July, we had 200 to 300 daily new cases. That's Tokyo alone. Today, on the Monday that we're recording this, they are down to 131 new cases. But from NHK World News, I have this quote. It is the first time in 7 days that the daily tally in the capital has been below 200, but the 19th straight day of more than 100 cases. Tokyo's total number of infections now stands at 11,345, and there are over 30,000 cases total in the country. For example, except for Tokyo, there is also the Okinawa military base of the American soldiers, and there has been a big outbreak too. So there are some hotbeds in Japan, of course. You can't compare this to total numbers in the US, but it's still worrying because it seemed that countries like Japan and Korea were on the forefront of really handling the situation well, and now it seemingly gets out of hand.
It's just a terrible thing that we're going through right now in the world. And, we were talking a little bit off the air about it. I'm in America, obviously. A lot of the handling of the situation with the virus and the pandemic has left a lot to be desired. I think many would agree in America. And then you see it in these other countries. And it's just a crazy thing. I will say, I wanted to shout out somebody. I did this on one of my Patreon shows I did the other day, but I'm going to do it again just on this main show. But I want to thank one of our somebody that messaged us on Twitter at RodeonPhD, and he was talking about stuff with the Japan Sports Organization.
Yes,
and you know, he was basically saying that a lot of the wrestling promotions, you know, like originally they said it must be wider than 1 meter, like closer to 2 meter is best. Yeah. But a lot of the Japanese promotions really didn't even adhere to that organization, and they just kind of make their own rules about it. And, you know, maybe with good intentions, but not according to the official rules.
I mean, I wonder how that's possible in a country like Japan where everything seems so well regulated. Because, for example, WXW is holding their tapings for the second season of the new Shotgun 2020 series this coming weekend, and they had to talk with the city they are running their tapings in for letting 40 people into the arena for the tapings, and they had very strict regulations about these 40 people. And I don't know how that is possible, that the Japanese wrestling promotions are just able to run and basically make up their own rules of what distance is okay. And the user that he quoted from the website pwanalysis.com also went to this show in Kanazawa, the Dragon Gate show, and measured the distance between the chairs and came to the conclusion that it was 80 centimeters, which is about 2.5 feet. And the regulations in various countries are so vastly different that it doesn't even compare. For example, I talked to friends of mine, and they said that, for example, in Spain, the rule is that you have to be 1 meter apart from one another. And here in Germany, we say it's between 1.5 and 2 meters that you're supposed to be apart from one another. So there are different sets of rules, what is supposed to be applied and what does make sense. And I don't know if that is necessarily working to the benefit of the larger scale.
It's such an inexact science, and there are so many agendas that are, you know, so many masters that are to be served with all of this. And a lot of the guys up top are going to think about business stuff first.
Yes.
They want to have as much money as possible, like in a lot of these shows. I was mentioning it, and I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but, you know, when New Japan announced their show at the stadium, they're praying that this, like, does not get out of hand to where the point where they really have to lock down.
I mean, even still, when it gets out of hand, I don't know if we've said it on this show, but I've definitely told you in private at some point, the risk of catching an infection outdoors is 19 times less than indoors.
Yes.
So even if they can't run closed venues anymore, I think there would be the possibility to run this stadium, this baseball stadium. But
oh, yeah.
But
not just my counter to that would be something that happened just like literally minutes before we started to record
exactly.
The show was something that happened in Major League Baseball. And I was super excited about the start of the season. My Cubs started off with a couple of strong games. And 3 games in, there's a team, the Miami Marlins, and the whole team has basically got infected.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody in the stadiums. It's just an empty stadium. It's just with players. And there's a lot that went into that, some stubborn people, maybe some guidelines. The commissioner of baseball has been really under fire right now and not doing the best way of handling everything. But that's a whole other story. But the point is, like, you know, it feels like, and a lot of people are already speculating that maybe this whole baseball season would be shut down. And that's with nobody in the stadium. So, you know, if they're going to go so far, you know, nobody really knows how this is going to play out or how out of control it's going to be. That's the thing. This whole situation is something that has never happened in our history that we can tell or have anything to. There's no guideline to how to handle this perfectly. And that's why we've seen so many mistakes. And some people are, again, so many masters serve. The business people are looking for profits. Some people just are against staying in. I'm sure even in Japan, there's a lot of restlessness and unknown stuff going on there. I don't want to speak for everybody or different countries or anything like that. But it feels to me like, you know, people want to be out there, but the dangers are so high that we've seen every time that they've started to give a little. You know, if you give an inch, this virus takes a mile back, it feels like. So you have to really be safe. And I just wonder how this is all going to play out. How far is it going to go before, you know, we go back into complete lockdown even more than before, maybe, because, yes, there was some good things, and we've talked about it. We were talking off air about America, Germany, Japan, whatever country you want to mention. There was parts where it looked like the curve was getting flattened and things were heading towards a good way.
Yeah.
But here we are again.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that an open stadium is no danger. For example, the way the virus spread from Italy to Spain is actually through football, through the Champions League game in mid-February between the team of Atalanta Bergamo and Valencia FC. At the time, the virus had already reached Italy, and they still played the game in a stadium of, I think, 40,000 people were there. And, of course, the staff and the players of Valencia, they caught the virus too and went back to Spain and brought the virus back to their country. And from there, it spread too. So there always is a big danger of these situations.
And in that situation, I think something to be important is, or something important to mention is, if it's possible, no matter how dangerous it is, that they're going to try, again, just what I just kind of bring this back full circle, they're going to want to maximize profits. Like, whatever danger there is, they're, like, if they are allowed to do it, they're going to do it to the best of their capabilities. So that's really a whole different discussion on how much risk there is. It's really more so what the politics
are.
Will they be allowed to run this, or will they shut it down? Because to me, I really think that...
I mean, we talked about Big Japan in April when they were still so stubborn that they even drove up to Hokkaido and wanted to do their Hokkaido tour there, until the point that basically everybody pressured them so hard that they didn't go through with the tour anymore. So I can really see a return to empty arenas in the foreseeable future if the situation is continuing to go like it is right now.
I hope for the best for everybody out there, especially in Japan, because, you know, it's been so good to have wrestling in so many forms. And we talked about it even on last year's show, or last week's show is a great example. As down as things may have been, there was actually a lot of great wrestling going on, even in the empty arena era. Like we talked, like I said, 13 different promotions had stuff. You know, New Japan would be taken out of the empty arena era, so to speak, but otherwise, I thought it was a great thing, and I hope that they can control this enough to where wrestling can continue on for the length of all of this, and we can get it under control at least that much. But I think there's definitely a lot of work to do from Japan and all sides and all parties in a lot of different countries to make this a lot better, and we can take a real step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that is our update regarding the corona situation. I got a bunch of different topics that I want to go over wrestling-wise, as I said here earlier. First few topics are probably going to be a bit quicker than the last one, so I want to start, Dylan, with Ganbare Pro Wrestling, of all places. It's a small company that is belonging to the DDT brand that is run by Ken Oka, and they had a show this past weekend that caught my attention. Of course, I watch all the Ganbare shows I can get, but this show especially caught my attention because they had a match between Hagane Shinu, the former Madoka, and Keisuke Ishii for the Independent World Junior Heavyweight Championship, and actually Hagane Shinu became the new champion and is now in his second reign of the championship, whereas the first reign that he had was more than 10 years ago when he defeated Kota Ibushi for the title on August 8 in 2008. And now here we are in 2020 and he is the champion again. And he said something of the sorts that he wants to, or he thinks of retiring the belt in case there is no one that really can up their game and can be a great champion for the Independent World Junior Heavyweight title. Because, I mean, this championship goes way back to FMW, was defended in Michinoku Pro Wrestling before they had their Tohoku championship, and Takamichi Noku basically got hold of the belt after the end of FMW in 2002, and it came back in 2007, as I said, when Kota Ibushi won the belt and held it for over a year. And back in that time, I thought this belt was a great idea, because in 2007-2008, we had all these companies like K-Dojo, DDT was still a smaller indie, El Dorado was there, and Kota Ibushi was all over the place working all these groups. And I thought it was a great link between all these promotions to have the belt and have it defended in all kinds of places. But since then, the title has been reached around from various places to other places, from Union Pro to Osaka Pro to Michinoku to DDT to Big Japan. Now it is in Gunbara Pro Wrestling. It has been there for quite some time now. Before that, Daisuke Sasaki actually had it when he was still in K-Dojo. What do you think about this championship?
Yeah, you know, that was, again, we're talking, you know, more my era when I first started watching. This was like right when I came in, was when this title was at its peak of relevance, pretty much. And back then, a lot of the companies were more, how should I say this? There were a lot more companies on equal footing in the independent scene, it was a lot easier for them all to work together.
Yes.
Now something like DDT, you might have some guys working together, you know, because that's still prevalent to this day for a lot of companies. But everybody knows, you know, if a company like El Dorado came around now, they'd be on a completely different level than DDT. Yes. You know,
they would be more like a secret base or yes. J Stage. You can really compare them to J Stage, can't you?
Yeah, yeah. J Stage is a good comparison. Yeah. Secret Base is still around.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, Basement Monstar will always have its, you know, tenants.
Yeah,
but,
by the way, going back to that you mentioned Basement Monstar, I watched a show from J Stage, from Basement Monstar, and they were able to let fans in too. They had about, I think, 80 to 100 people in there, and that looked really crowded. That was a bad, bad look for the company, I thought. Because there was no distance whatsoever between the fans.
It's impossible to have distance in
yes.
Basement Monstar, you know. So that's a whole crazy situation there, to be honest with you, to even run shows there. But the title, though, I was a huge fan of this back in the day. Like I said, when I first started watching, this was a kind of a big deal to me, you know, just as a fan. And I've mentioned this many times before, but Hagane Shino was like my favorite wrestler in Japanese wrestling when I first started watching. I thought he was the best one in K-Dojo, and I wanted a ton of success for him. Kota Ibushi, obviously, at the time. This was very young Ibushi, like during that era, you know. And they teamed up for matches. They fought each other for matches. That was one of my favorite matches. It used to be on YouTube in two different parts, Madoka versus Ibushi. I remember watching it. And I was like, wow, these guys are awesome. And like Madoka was like, man, this guy's super awesome. And Ibushi's cool too. But there were all kinds of people that fought over that title back then. Nowadays, it's, you know, Ganbare Pro is kind of an under company, a spiritual successor in some ways to Union Pro, but always an under promotion to DDT. And now they've had this storyline with it, which I think is really cool, actually, that they put this much on it. Keisuke Ishii's a great wrestler and a great champion and everything, but this feels like as meaty of a purpose for this title that we've seen in many, many years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The thing is, I really like it as the top championship in Ganbara Pro Wrestling, because they don't have other belts on their own. They sometimes, for example, use the former Guts World six-man tag team championship, but they don't really have championships on their own. And it's kind of a Japanese tradition that you use belts that had been used by defunct companies before. And such is the Independent World Junior Heavyweight Championship, and such is the Guts World Certified six-man championship. So I have this weird affection to this championship because it has this deep history that somewhere along the way for a couple of years got lost, but then they rediscovered their history and it became relevant again.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I like the title in Ganbare Pro. Again, like I said, it always had value and I always have a certain nostalgia for that title and that era of pro-res in general. So for me, I really like it. And The storyline, though, I think is very interesting. If you listen or if you look at the translations of what was said, this was kind of a very interesting take on the storyline, because normally in wrestling, you're always pushing forward, and a lot of guys will say something like, especially in New Japan, if you're a fan of that company, somebody will win a title and they'll be like, I'm going to bring this belt to new heights. That's their storyline. Or, like, you know, in even American wrestling, a lot of times, somebody will win the U.S. title or something that used to be big, and they'll be like, this title sucked forever, and I'm going to bring it back to prominence. But Hagane Shino here, his character is essentially that when he won the title for the first time, he beat Ibushi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the pinnacle of his career, and he's never been able to achieve that again, like, pretty much. It was a very kind of dark story, like, way he emphasized the storyline. Like, I peaked 12 years ago, and this whole time I've never been able to overcome, like, where I was then. And, you know, he even said something to the effect, or if they translated something to the effect of, I know I can't catch Ibushi anymore.
Yeah,
like I've already blown the chance.
Completely different levels, as you just put it. Yeah. You know, for example, in 2008 they were on similar levels, but now Ibushi is in New Japan, which is far and away the biggest company, of course. And Hagane Shino won the title in Tokyo Itabashi Green Hall in front of 100 people.
Yes, exactly. You know, so it's very realistic and, like, surprisingly honest for a wrestling storyline that you would do this. And he was even like, you know, I had that chance before and blew it. I'm paraphrasing, but that was pretty much it. And he's like, I know I can't catch him anymore.
Mm.
So I thought that was a very interesting, like a very unique wrestling angle, I feel like, because not a lot of guys would say something like that at an angle. And he even said, like, my career is in the twilight of it. You know, it's near the end. And this may be my last chance to be a champion and all of this. And I was getting kind of sad because I was like, this is my guy when I started watching. And to hear him talk about this was like, wow, this is a very dark thing, but also very honest and refreshing in some ways. At the end of the day, I think it's very cool, especially basically the whole point of this was to build up to his next match versus Asuka.
And that is a very, very cool match to make. I mean, Hagane Shino, as you said, was one of the standouts in early K-Dojo alongside Kengo Mashimo. They were around the same time. And we praised Asuka in our half-year awards, and we pretty much always do when we talk about her.
Yes.
She's great, and I mean, this title match, I would really love to see that very soon. I think, I don't know if they scheduled that yet. I've not checked that out. I'm somewhat sad that they didn't deliver on the Keisuke Ishii versus Asuka match yet, but maybe that's still to come down the line.
Yeah, that'll happen anyway. Like basically, the way they set this up was Asuka's going to win the title.
Yes.
Next, because the odds of this title retiring, there's no real purpose behind it. And basically what he said was a very dead giveaway, because he was like, if Asuka could beat me, I know she could be a star just like Ibushi was.
Mm.
So that's like, that tells you what's going to happen. So Ishii will get his time. I have no problem with this. I think this is actually a lot better than if they had just done the Ishii match straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's a great champion and all, but this feels like something that has at least some more meat to the bone than just him doing great matches in this really small company. You know, we always talk about Keisuke Ishii, great worker. Shino, I think, you know, back in those days, like I said, he to me was a very top tier in-ring talent in Japan. And whenever I see him, he's still really good. You know, he's done a lot of different things with like Mekai Project and stuff like that. I really respect his in-ring abilities even now, you know. So I'm sure that'll be a great match, him and Asuka. And I would love if they could do something with it and elevate everything. But, you know, these guys really deserve a lot of credit. Guys like Ishii, you know, Hagane Shino, and even Ken Oka. Okay, maybe not him. But let's replace him with Asuka. You know, she's the third member of this triad. They deserve a lot of credit for what they're doing, even in a small company like that. And I think that could be a great match and something that I hope everybody checks out because, you know, Gambari Pro, there's no question, smaller company, definitely not the same level as Kota Ibushi or New Japan or anything like that. But still, I really love the storyline, and I think it'll be a great match.
I mean, you don't even have to go to the hassle of going to a whatever sort of streaming service. You just have to go to Wrestle Universe. It's up there.
Absolutely. You know, that's the great thing about Wrestle Universe is that, you know, a lot of stuff is on there, a lot of different varieties of companies. And this is a good way to check out an independent talent. And like I said, Shino, to me, will always be one of the most underrated guys in wrestling. Asuka, not underrated. Everybody knows that she's really great, and she's got a great future ahead of her as well, still very young. So it's a perfect match to make, and good for them. Like, very, very cool stuff.
Absolutely. So this brings me to the next company that I want to talk about. It's 01. They have their Tenkaichi Junior Tournament at the moment, and the finals of this tournament are set on August 2 in Kirken Hall with El Lindemann versus Shoki Kitamura. And quickly, the way to the finals for them in the second round: Shoki Kitamura defeated Hide Kubota, El Lindemann defeated Gunsuke Tanaka. Then they went to, of course, Raicho beat Sugi in the second round too. Then they went to the semifinals where Shoki Kitamura defeated Raicho and El Lindemann defeated Hub. So now they are having the final of that tournament, and the card for the August 2nd Kirken Hall show that 01 is running has some other matches, of course. I want to go through them quickly here. They have Gunsuke Tanaka, former Wrestle One fame, is taking on Hartley Jackson in the opening match. Now we have a six-man tag match. Sugi, Raicho, and Andy Wu, also former Wrestle One competitor who is debuting for 01 at this show. They're taking on the Voodoo Murderers that are still around in 2022. Taru, Yoshikatsu, Yokoyama, and Shogun Okamoto. There is an 8-man tag match, and there is a great picture of Yumehito Inamari, by the way, who in his 01 profile picture is holding a camera, because of course he's a camera guy. Shinjiro Otani, Imanari, Drew Parker, and Takumi Baba, also former Wrestle One wrestler, take on Masato Tanaka, Takuya Sugawara, and the Kubota Brothers. Then there is an Intercontinental Tag Team title match. The champions, Yuko Miyamoto and Masashi Takeda, defend against Towa Iwasaki and Tsuku Takasato. Very cool match as well, in my opinion. And the two top matches are Chris Weiss defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Yuji Hino, as well as Shoki Kitamura versus El Lindemann in the Tenkaichi Junior Tournament Finals. And this comes right off our show last week, Dylan, when I said El Lindemann, he needs more opportunities, and here we are.
Yes, very cool stuff for him to make the finals, but I do think he's not going to win the tournament. However, I think Kitamura will win because they need somebody.
Yes. To 01 that was basically point. The wording that I had yesterday too. 01, they lost a lot of people in recent weeks. We talked about that in one of our prior episodes. Shoki Kitamura is a new guy they trained under their roof. They probably want to make him a big star, just like they did with Towa Iwasaki. They could also go the route that they did with Iwasaki last year, where he made the finals of the Fire Festival, but then lost in the finals. But I guess Lindemann is supposed to be the one that is putting Kitamura over to become their next junior star.
And I have no problem if Lindemann wins, though.
No.
that would be just fine, to say the least.
On the topic of Lindemann, it's so weird what is happening with all the Stronghearts right now, because they are basically located in Osaka, and they are using a gym in Osaka where they are doing smaller shows with three matches, and they are streaming them on Twitch, but there is no mention of OWE whatsoever, and I wonder if there ever comes a time where the Stronghearts will go back to OWE, because whenever there were OWE shows in Japan, it always seemed like, here is the Stronghearts show, and there are these Chinese dudes as well. You know what I mean? It never seemed like that they were on equal footing. It always seemed like OWE only came about because of the Stronghearts, and they never made any fuss about it, and they straight away told you that they are the big stars, and the Chinese trainees are basically just the trainees.
Yeah, that the thing is, I feel bad talking about this because I really wanted this to be something and have wrestling more in China and take more of a cool thing, you know, and be more of a cool thing there. But it really feels like this was all a bust overall for China, but for everyone except for the Stronghearts and mostly Shima. You know, Shima is totally fine with all this, I'm sure, but just in terms of the trainees and all of that, the OWE thing, I don't think that's going to be a big thing going forward, especially not in Japan. I think these guys are going to be pretty well focused on these Japanese indies. And I mentioned it before, I get somewhere, get away from the Stronghearts, set yourself up and set yourself down somewhere. That would be my advice to these guys, you know.
Absolutely. I don't know, man. This hasn't gone well for some people that they are aligned with. For example, Shigehiro Irie.
Yep.
He only now returned to All Japan, or is returning to All Japan. He hasn't been working for them in the Empty Arena phases. He wasn't there, even though he was part, originally he was part of the Purple Haze. Was he part of Purple Haze? I think he was.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he was. Yeah, but that totally went nowhere.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he's back now, as, at least for this one show that they are doing. We'll see how that goes.
He didn't want to be a part of that group, probably. He was like, nope, the Purple Haze pass. I don't want to deal with that. Even though they are getting a push now. So
yes,
maybe he should,
we'll talk about that a bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, it's good to see him back, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's 0-1.
Hey, wait a minute. There's something we have to mention on 0-1. Mm-hmm. First of all, prayer circle for Hub. another longtime favorite of mine, former Zero, he lost. So that was a sad thing. My dreams of him repeating are dead. But more importantly, what's up with these Kubota brothers getting this push lately in 0-1? Have you noticed this?
Of course I did.
Yeah, yeah, well, what's that all about? Do you have any thoughts on the Kubota brothers?
Oh, yeah, I have a theory.
Okay.
My theory is that they are good friends with the new owners.
That's a very likely theory, actually. That's a very logical one. So that's excellent news for if you want to see some questionable talent getting pushes going in. So good stuff there.
The most indie you can look are the Kubota brothers.
Yes, I completely agree. They belong in Gambari Pro. Move Shino and Asuka and Ishii to 0-1 and trade them for the Kubota brothers. And we may have something.
Yeah, man.
And Yokoyama as well.
Yokoyama. Jesus, yes. That was very important to bring that up, absolutely.
I did not want to let that slide, Strigon. Yeah. I'm sorry.
0-1, so much for them. Basara and DAF Pro Wrestling, they ran a combined tournament. They did the Itadaki 2020 tournament together. Tournament that was originally started to be just a Basara tournament. Was basically a Basara versus DAF Pro tournament this time. And they did three shows together. This past weekend, they had the finals of the tournament. In the semifinals on that show from this past Sunday, Naoki Tanisaki defeated Takumi Tsukamoto and Ryota Nakatsu defeated Kenshin Shikano. And in the finals, Ryota Nakatsu went over Naoki Tanisaki. So that means that probably Ryota Nakatsu is getting another shot at the Union Pro Max Championship, a championship that once belonged to Union Pro, but as I said, many defunct companies, or many defunct titles come back, and that belt came back for being the top championship of Basara, and that is now held by Fuminori Abe, of course. And DAF Pro and Basara, they are companies that I'd say they complement each other very well. They have similar approaches to wrestling. They are much more of a niche product. They have similar roster members, and they competed for a while, or at least had a storyline that they were in competition with one another. But now it seems like they're more on the level of coexisting in the storyline, and they usually run their separate markets. As DAF Pro mostly runs Osaka. They sometimes go to Tokyo, where Basara is located mostly, but for the most part, DAF stays in Osaka, and Basara stays in Tokyo. And so it should be for the benefit of both groups to exchange talent more and more to ensure that they can maybe grow a little bit as a company.
Well, we'll see about that. I do agree with you that they are very complementary to each other. They're both these kind of weird indie companies, but there are some good talent in there too. And somebody like Nakatsu, I think, is somebody that definitely needs to be paid attention to.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a fan of good wrestling, he's one of my favorite kind of underground talents. You know, not in one of the mainstream companies. Even something like DDT, he's not really in that much. He is a great worker, and he's somebody that if he faces Abe in a match, that'll be a match you definitely want to check out, and I will watch it as well, even though DAF Pro has burned me a few times in the past. I will break these rules of mine, much like when Popeyes burned me, and I went there for their spicy chicken sandwich eventually. DAF Pro they have a chance to win me back with Nakatsu and Abe.
This was not paid for by the sandwich company. No.
No, I mean, listen, I'm going to put them down now. They weren't my favorite sandwich. That people were fighting over this chicken sandwich, it wasn't worth it. You know, like I said, it was a good sandwich. I mean, you can't make a bad spicy chicken sandwich, but it can't touch Wendy's. I'm sorry. I want to speak the truth right now. I know this is controversial. It never was able to touch Wendy's, and that will always be my favorite one. You know, sir, this is a Wendy's right now.
Okay, then. From there, from Wendy's, we go... what is next on my... I completely lost it right now. I didn't expect the sandwich talk here.
Well, listen, I just wanted to make a comparison to Dove Pro and the sandwich company that burned me in the past. And I'm giving them another chance, Striga. I'm a very, you know, I'm a very forgiving person. Have you ever heard of forgiveness?
I did, of course. That's why I went back to watch Pro Wrestling Noah so often, even though they burned me a couple of times in the past, too.
I had to forgive them too for that stupid Yohei turn and the hooligans. Do you remember that? I just mentioned them the other day.
Of course. But I'm talking way back. I'm talking Suzuki-kun and stuff like that.
Oh, well, I mean, everybody knows that sucked.
So, the next topic that I have on my list here of notes is Stardom. They had a series of three shows over this past week. They had the Stardom Cinderella Summer in Tokyo this past Sunday, where they had the finals of the mini tournament for the Wonder of Stardom Championship, where Julia beat Tam Nakano through referee decision. I don't know, Dylan, how many of the matches, of the top matches of Stardom, have you watched recently? I have not watched anything yet.
I watched both of the big title matches, the red belt and the white belt.
All right, so just go over some of your notes that you have about Stardom and their matches.
Yeah, I won't dwell on it too much since you haven't seen it, but I will say that the red belt match was kind of, I don't want to say controversial, that's a little too strong, but there's been a lot of varying opinions on it, because a lot of people think it was maybe a tad disappointing.
Yeah, well, that was on Nagoya on July 24, we have it at 7.67 based on 5 votes, and the lowest rating we have actually is an 8.
Yeah, the cage match viewers must have really liked it.
Wait a sec, that's actually wrong. There was a title that was... the title match has 3 10.0s and 2 yes. 8.0s.
Yes, exactly. So the cage match viewers really liked it, but more so the Twitter community, there's been some people that said it was very disappointing. Mm-hmm. But I agree with the cage match inmates have been... I've noticed this as well. Since I've started to work there more, it feels like the inmates have suddenly wised up.
Suddenly.
Yes, I don't know how it happened, but a lot of the ratings have started to be a lot better, in my opinion. So I don't want to say it's all because of me. I'm just saying we can't discount that it was. I did have an effect.
Weird correlation.
A correlation and possibly causation, but I don't want to say for sure. I'm going to let the people decide that. I'm not going to big up myself, Striga. I don't do that.
What did you think about the title match, Dylan?
I liked it. Like I was going to say, I really agree with more the cage match guys than maybe the social media reactions. I think a problem with this match, though, there is one major, major issue with this. I thought it was a really good match. However, they built up this whole thing with Jungle challenging for the title, fighting for Hana. Like, a lot of people, and when she lost, a lot of people, I think, it was a total, down finish on all of it.
Yeah, that's not a really good story to go by if you fight for your dead friend and then you lose. I mean,
Somewhat feels
like a big slap in the face.
Exactly. Nobody wanted to see this. Everybody wanted Jungle to win. Mayu's a great champion. Everyone respects Mayu. And this was a very good match. But I do think that if Jungle had won, this would have been getting tons of rave reviews and match of the year, hailings. But instead, a lot of people were talking about the other match a little bit more. But for me, the red belt match I thought was very strong. Jungle fought with a lot of passion in this match. She really made you believe that she wanted it for real. Even though, she obviously knew what was going to happen, she still performed so well that she made you believe that she wanted it for real. Mayu is an amazing worker in her own right. She's a complete package, On offense, selling, showing emotions, she does everything well in the ring. And I love when she's really put in position to have these big matches. It's interesting because she's somebody that in the Grand Prix, and then, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but last year and years prior, Mayu's somebody that if she's in a smaller match, occasionally, you know, three or four matches into the tournament, you're like, ah, Mayu, like, I wonder why she's not one of the top performers. But then the last three or four matches hit, and suddenly she's like, has like three or four, five, you know, 4.5-star matches or something. And then it's like, oh, okay. Like, she is yet again at the top of the company. It's like, when she turns it on, she's one of the best performers. But to me, I think Jungle is one of the best performers. So you have the storyline already. In her hometown, by the way, doing this. So you knew who the crowd was on, you know, whose side the crowd was on, even though they had rules for the fans, you know, no cheering and all of that. But so you have this person fighting for their dead friend in their hometown, and they lose. Hmm. I think that's always going to be the main point of this match, no matter what they did in it, even though I really liked it. Again, I really agree with the cage match inmates more than a lot of people, but I know a lot of people thought it was kind of disappointing for what it was. But I thought from a like an in-ring standpoint, if you take away everything, the outside stuff, this was about this was a very strong title match, and I would very much recommend it.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. I will probably go back and watch some of the bigger matches that happened on these shows. They had a show in Osaka, 23rd, the show in Nagoya that you mentioned, the 24th, and then the one in Tokyo on the 26th. And they also announced, as you already said, they announced the 5-star Grand Prix lineup. We have two blocks, as usual, the red block and the blue block. In the red block, we have Mayu Iwatani, Julia Tamnakano Konami, Starlight Kid, Saya Kamitani, Death Yama-san, and Himeka, who alongside Maika from JTO, they are the newest signees of Stardom. And in the blue block, as I said, Maika from JTO, from Taka Michinoku's organization, Shuri, Saki Kashima, Natsuko Tora, Asumi, Jungle, Kiona, Utami Hayashita, and Momo Watanabe. What do you think about these blocks?
Yeah, I'll just back it up a little bit and talk about the white belt title match, because I thought that was a very interesting match. Mm-hmm. With Julia and Tom Nakano. I thought the booking of this was very interesting, too, because the red belt was in Nagoya, and this was in Corquin. They did a very nice number, 483 people, with all things considered.
Yeah, it's close, and this was to the what you can do in Corquin now. It's it's about 500 that you can do. I think 494 or something is the maximum.
Yeah, it's like a virtual sellout, you know, like, mm-hmm. like whatever number it is. It was a very good number for them. So they did Julia and Tom Nakano, and this is another one where the finish really hurt it, I feel like, because this, much like the other match, now you have this Tom Nakano fighting for her retired friend who suffered a terrible injury and had to retire to win the belt that she was always, that they had this long storyline to go for that turned into a friendship, and now she's fighting for her, and of course she loses here, so this is my problem. Okay, so this was another good match. I thought Nakano was awesome in this match. Julia was very good as well, but there were some spots where maybe there was some miscommunication. Julia didn't quite go all the way with her selling as much as someone like Amayu would. And Tom, I thought, though, really brought it home the last, like, 6 or 7 minutes, because they really formulated this match to where it felt like they were on the finishing stretch, and then something happened that I won't spoil, but something happened, and things flip, and then there's, like, 5 or 6 more minutes that they unexpectedly added on. So I really liked that. The finish was controversial with the referee stoppage, which I thought was interesting for a long match like this. But I liked it, how it came across. It was a very good match. Again, some people have – this is another one that's had wildly varying opinions. Like, some people are like match of the year level, and others like it was good. But I think more people were positive on that just because I think – again, I think the finish had a lot to do with that, because Hoshiki's stuff, although she did have to retire and that's sad, wasn't as serious and like heartfelt, and the emotion wasn't as strong as for Hana. So I think that really affected it, and I think this got a better response, even though the other one might have been just a strong in-ring, if not better. So I wanted to bring that up. I like them both very much. I just think that the booking was very questionable on both of these matches. You know, especially the Jungle one hurt because it's like, if you're not going to do it now, like, when will you ever do it?
You know? Will you ever do it is the question right now, actually.
I think no. But, you know, to be honest with you, unfortunately, it's too bad because Jungle's, like, actually my favorite worker in the company, probably. So I hate saying that, but she's really on the outside looking in. Hmm. So that leads us to the 5-star Grand Prix. I still have some hope for Tom here because, first of all, I thought these blocks were so well laid out. in terms of who was in them. Very well balanced. I think really in each group, there's really only one person that I don't have high hopes for from an in-ring level. In Red Block, you have Death Yamasan, who may not be a, you know, they don't use her as a great worker. She's more of a comedy character, but yeah, she has her role in the quarter, in the tournament, you know? So I have no problem with her in there. And the other one, Tora, to me, she's not it as leader of Omega Tai.
The heel turn didn't serve her well.
No, but she, even as babyface, I wasn't a huge fan of hers, to be honest with you. They had a good storyline with her in Jungle, who's an amazing worker. But ever since then, everything that she's done, like last year with the pajamas and all of that stuff, she just, I think she had a little bit of something as a pure brawler. Like, she had a couple of matches that if you have her as a pure brawler, she could do that. Here, she's gone completely into this heel character mode. And as a leader, I just don't really feel it. We talked about the last episode. I really think Kashima would have been a much better choice, considering how well her heel turn started. But they were really behind Tora for some reason. It hasn't really taken off, and her performances haven't been strong. But everyone else in that block, I think, is really good. You look at that group, you have people like Utami, Momo, who a lot of people really love, Jungle, who's my favorite, obviously, Azumi, who stood out last year, and I think is going to prove again how great she is. Shuri, amazing worker. Probably, if not Jungle, she might be one of the top workers, Jungle and Mayu. Micah has a lot to prove. You know, for a young worker like her, she's done very well considering her experiences, and I think this is going to help her grow. Saki, maybe she could do something. Yeah. Maybe she'll be more of a flashpin expert. Again, more like, you know, at a side character, but still, I think she could do good. In the red block, you have a lot of people that are great, too. Himeka has a lot to prove. Konami, great worker. Mayu. Tom Nakano, great storyteller, and really, I was so impressed with Tom Nakano last year in the five-star Grand Prix. So,
yeah,
very
absolutely.
Good groups. Yeah, very good groups. If you know, I'll just go ahead and throw out my predictions now for this.
Yeah, I was going to go to the final day, and we can see something from there. But throw out your prediction.
Oh, okay. We're not going to go through the final day.
Okay. First of all, I want to say that, as you said, both blocks are balanced very well. Very similar approach to both blocks, actually, with, as you mentioned, Himeka and Micah being there as the newest additions. I really like the blue block a little bit more, though, because I really like the in-ring work of most of the women in the block. Of course, I like the ones in the red block, too, but with Momo, Utami, Jungle, Saki Kashima, Shuri, Micah, there is a lot of potential there. And, as I said, the final day is on September 19, Currican Hall. First of all, this tournament, of course, starts on August 8, also in Currican Hall, all the way through mid-September. And we have, in the blue block, the two top matches on the final day are Utami Hayashishita against Shuri and Momo Watanabe against Jungle Kiona, whereas in the red block, you have Julia versus Death Yamasan on the final day, and Mayu Iwatani versus Tam Nakano. So how do you think that plays out?
Well, right away in Blue Block, I mentioned this on Twitter, but Momo and Utami are the favorites in Blue Block. Yeah. I don't think Jungle's going to win. Yeah, like I said, I don't think Jungle's going to win, unfortunately. A lot of people wanted that and all of that, but it's just like, to me, like I just said, if you're not going to do it there, then the odds are you just don't see her as that. Unfortunately for me, because I do see her as that. You know, I think she could definitely be an amazing main event champion. But Momo is somebody who's been on the back burner for a while now and feels like that maybe this would be a good time for her. And Utami has so much potential at star power and is a great worker in her own right. Seeing her make it would not be a surprise to anybody. Shuri is a sleeper candidate, in my opinion, in blue block. She would be like, I have two favorites and a sleeper in each block, and Shuri would be the third if I had to go for it. You know, somebody you might not expect, but she's a great worker, very experienced, a very unique style compared to the rest of the roster, and has traveled more than anyone else and wrestled more people than anyone else. So if they wanted to have a red block finalist to win, Shuri is the person you want to put in there.
She would really be a safe bet.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think if somebody's going to win, it would be Momo and Utami from Blue Block.
Mm-hmm.
Red Block, Himeka, I think, is going to be a big X factor, not to win the tournament, but just in having great matches, because she's somebody that is a great worker. Even compared to someone like Micah, Himeka, to me, is on a much different level than her, in my opinion. And I think she's going to really make Red Block pop off. You know, Redblock's interesting, you know, when you look at it up and down. But to me, the two favorites have to be Mayu and Julia. Yeah. But I think there is a little bit more parity. There's probably four, you know, there's four people that I think could win this block in reality. And Julia, the problem with her is everyone knows that they want to push her a lot. Mm-hmm. But she just won the white belt.
Yeah.
So,
The way that is laid out here with basically you said that Death Yama-san is basically more of a comedy character in Stardom. But the way this is laid out, I could see that Julia trips over Death Yama-san in the final match of the block, and Death Yama-san gets a fluke victory over Julia, and then the deciding match is Mayu versus Tam Nakano.
Yeah, what you said is what's probably going to happen. Yeah. Like the way they set that up, it perfectly makes sense for that. I would love if Tom won. You know, I think she totally deserves it. And Mayu winning, you know, she's red belt champion already, so you want to avoid that. Sometimes it can be good, you know, to have the champion win just to throw a little bit of a curveball in there. But to me, Tom needs something.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's
absolutely.
Like,
and it absolutely makes sense because they are doing the storyline between Julia and Tam Nakano, and now the Wonder of Stardom title is with Julia, so they gave her something, and it would only make sense into building Tam Nakano up as another star that they now, with the 5-star Grand Prix, give her something else.
Absolutely. I think from a storyline sake, this is why I said I still have hope for her, more so than Jungle, because if she wins this, then her winning the white belt, or not winning the white belt, rather, at least can be forgiven. You know, it doesn't really affect anything that much. Maybe they had something different planned for her, and that's great. So if Nakano wins, I would be totally happy with that. The problem with her, though, is that they, again, have had other opportunities to go with her and have passed on it so far, for whatever reason. So that really kind of scares me off of her, to be honest with you, even though from a story perspective, the best possible outcome, in my opinion, from a pure story, never mind my favorites or work or whatever, is Nakano winning the whole tournament, in my opinion, and getting a shot. And they also have a storyline where they mentioned Mayu possibly leaving Stars that they teased as well. So they have a little thing with Mayu and Tom already, too, that they could go with, too. So it would make perfect sense for Nakano to win. My gut is telling me whoever wins Blue Block, if Momo or Utami win Blue Block, I think they'll win the tournament. But I hope, Tom would win. I would hope Tom would win, and if Shuri is winning, I think that would be a great matchup, Shuri versus Nakano in the finals, but any of them I think would be a pretty great matchup, to be honest with you. The only thing I think that would be a mistake would be Julia, just because she had already won the title, and she's done good work ever since she's come in. She's been a strong performer, I would say.
Yeah, I can't really see that, because you can't, right, at the moment, you can't just make only one star in Stardom. They have to make different wrestlers a star in there right now in the situation that they're in, and Julia winning would be the wrong decision, in my opinion.
I agree with you, but to be fair, when we saw in New Japan, they were to follow New Japan, did they think that way with Okada in 2012?
They did
maybe
not.
Exactly. And Julie is going to be the top star in this company,
sure,
in my opinion. Sooner rather than later, she is going to be the one that is on the face of the poster. She is going to be the face of this company. Whether you would like it or not, or I like it or not, I think that's that's how it's going to be. Although, actually, I would prefer others. If you ask my personal opinion, I just think based on how they book, I trust them to go that way. But I still don't think it's Julia's time. Even if that's true, I don't think it's the right time. She just won the white belt, so there's no reason for that. But I don't think you can count it out either. Much like Okada and Naito or whoever in New Japan, you can never quite count it out, even though you think so. But I hope that Nakano wins. If you ask me if you put a gun to my head, though, I'd think that Momo would, or Utami. One of those two. But Nakano would be my third pick, and the one that I hope for. Nakano is the sentimental favorite to myself and many other people, and she deserves a lot of credit because she's improved so much, and I think some people don't really want to recognize that for some reason, because she's presented for, it's this weird thing, because I just got this message that's Stardom only cares about the idols, and Nakano's too old to be the red belt champion to them. And then other people are like, all of Nakano's fans are weirdos because she's an idol wrestler. they only like her because she's hot. So which is it? But if you actually look at her run, she's been a great storyteller. when it comes to like feuds and rivalries, she is the top one at that. Just look at her work with Arisa Hoshiki last year. It was such an amazing feud that they had, and it could have turned into something great. I kind of wish that she had won the white belt, even if the plan is to get her, because from a poetic standpoint, her winning the white belt and like giving something positive would have been so cool. But this would be great, too, if she could win it. She's my hope, but I do think that one of the Queen's Quest girls have to be considered the favorites in this.
All right. I'd say so much for Stardom for now. Moving on to the next topic on my list, the All Japan show from this past Saturday, headlined by the Triple Crown match, or as they call it, the Ultimate Five Crown match, because, of course, Zuwama and Shuji Ishikawa, they are the All Japan World Tag Team Champions, which are two belts, and Zuwama is the Triple Crown Champion, which are supposed to be three belts, but now it's one belt. So it really is a Triple Crown match, actually, if you think about it. They ran Karrikin Hall with the two top matches, Suwama and Ishikawa, as well as the junior heavyweight title match between Koji Iwamoto challenging Susumu Yokosuka, who was a great champion. We saw one title change and one title defense. First of all, Susumu Yokosuka lost to Koji Iwamoto, who is now actually in his third reign already as the world junior heavyweight champion, but hasn't had a very successful reign yet. So I'm really hoping for him to now go on to have this kind of a signature reign that he really needs to have to be what they seemingly want him to be, which is the ace of a junior division, Dylan.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually thought that was the best match on either of the shows that day, like the junior title match.
Agreed.
Yeah, so it to me, like, to be honest with you, there was a lot of wrestling that day and not a lot of great matches, unfortunately, but that was probably my favorite of the bunch. Susumu, great champion. I love everything he did. Hell, look at last week's episode. I said he was the in-ring wrestler of the year, to that point, so that's how much I liked his title reign and everything he was doing at Dragon Gate as well. Variety of opponents. So great matches throughout, with a bunch of different people, and most importantly, added a sense of freshness to the division that desperately needed it. And it feels like that is one area All Japan deserves some credit on, is that this year we've seen the elevation of a few different players in the junior division, and it's all centered around Susumu. Guys like Akira Francesco, Hokuto Omori, and, you know, now we see this with Iwamoto winning the title back. As you mentioned, he's been in and around the title scene more or less for the last 3 years or so, and the two reigns he had before, one of them was really short. It was like a one, he didn't even defend it once, I don't think. It was less than a month.
27 days, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Then the other one was, he had a few defenses. It was quickly lost in the shuffle, more or less. But I remember that reign was actually pretty good. He had a match with Sato, which I think was really good, and Kotaro Suzuki, which I really liked as well.
He didn't have a match with Sato in that reign. He won the title from Shuji Kondo and defended it against Yusuke Okada and Kotaro Suzuki before losing before losing it to Atsushi Aoki.
Yeah, the Okada match was really good.
Yes.
So he had some good matches there. That feels like a whole, like, long time ago, Kondo as champion. His unexpected return that year in 2018 to All Japan. So now Iwamoto gets another reign. We'll see how it goes. I think it's going to, in all honesty, I don't want to sound negative, I just think it's kind of tough right now because it feels like I don't even want to say what percentage-wise, but they're on their way to really building up this junior division. I think they've done a great job this year. But I don't think they're at the point where maybe they are, because considering who challenged them afterwards, we are seeing another person getting a title shot. Yes. That's kind of unexpected. But it feels like we're going to be, in 4 or 5 months, we may be in the same position we were at the end of Susumu's reign, where he kind of ran through everybody, you know, and then we're just doing repeats again. And that's kind of the problem with All Japan, is that a lot of times these title reigns can go for 4 or 5 months, and then you go through everybody. I do think that was one thing that they could have done a little better with Susumu's reign. It's like in February he had back-to-back title reigns in like 2 weeks, or title challenges in 2 weeks, Okada and Akira Francesco. And I think they could have spread that out a little bit. The Izanagi reign was like, you know, or Izanagi match was like 8 minutes. I think they could have like spread that out a little bit better, I feel like. So if they do that, maybe he could have a longer reign, and I think he can have some good matches. I like him as a worker. I think he's done some really good work in the tag team format, but I'd like to see him have some good matches. He's a guy that it's going to be a struggle with, though, because I always kind of mention this. Whatever you think of him in-ring, he was kind of a face of when the junior division in All Japan was really stale, and that's going to be kind of hard for some people to overcome. But as a worker, he's got a lot of talent, and I think that he could do some good things. It's just a matter of will they make this reign into something different. And to be fair, with Dan Tamura challenging him,
oh, yeah,
I think they do have a chance that they do have some good ideas in mind for this. So I like what we're doing. I like the way we're starting this off, and hopefully that he can be able to pull it off in the ring as well.
Yeah, we talked about Dan Tamura. He was my top most improved wrestler of this first 6 months. And in the opening match of this show, he got the win over Black Mensore with the Dan Lock, which is basically a modified Tex Glover hold. And he challenged Koji Uemoto after the match. So that is really cool to see that he's stepping up alongside Hokuto Omori, who's also stepping up and who has gained a more heelish attitude since joining Efonce Terrible. Yeah, I really like how they push both guys. They were paired in the Asunao Cup final, but now they are going in separate directions. That is very cool to see, and Dan Tamura should be a good first defense of the new champion. Logical step for Dan Tamura to step up to the new champion, but then lose. That is a very organic build to a new star in Japan.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a fine match, and I'm really interested to see what Tamura does. I think he, in this show, I really enjoyed. He was one of the highlights of the undercard along with Okada mm-hmm. in their opening match because they had such a great, they had a natural storyline. Okada leaves Evolution and then he's brought in to replace him. So they had this fiery little segment in the opening match and gave it a little bit more meat than you usually get in these random opening matches. So Tamura, I have high hopes for, and I like to see this title reign for Uemoto get off to a good start.
Yes, and I agree that this match really was good. Maybe could call it great. I mean, the great thing about the match was it went 16 minutes, but it didn't feel like a 60-minute match. It felt more like it was 10 minutes long because the work that they did was so smooth. The transitions were so great. They worked around a lot of submissions, and in the end, of course, it was the judo throw once again that got Uemoto the victory here. So I really enjoyed this match, and especially the match length, whereas the main event match between Suwama and Shuji Ishikawa almost went 28 minutes long. What did you think about this one?
It was fine, but not a great match, in my opinion.
I don't know. Yeah. I kind of expected more, too.
Yeah, I my expectations were kind of low for this because we've mentioned this before. Ishikawa, is not. I'm not super high up on either of these guys, to be honest with you. Suwama's had great matches in ring, but as a champion, he just really doesn't have anything for me, like buzz wise. And this match was not something I was looking forward to. To have it be 28 minutes really doesn't suit their style of match. These two are going at each other. Remember the match with Ishikawa? Now, this match was way better than this match. But remember the 30-minute draw between Ishikawa and Sai that went like a million years in the Champion Carnival?
The 30-minute draw, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think the 30-minute length is for someone like Ishikawa.
These are two giant dudes. Why can't they just punch each other in the face for 14 minutes or so?
It's just not going to work on a 28-minute match like their style, you know? What they need is someone like we saw with Ashino against Suwama, mm-hmm. or even Kento when we had him against Suwama.
That's going to work for 25 minutes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and they can make it work because they're smaller, they can bump around for the big guy, and they have spots that they can bring out that build you to that moment mm-hmm. and can make it more exciting.
But when you have two guys that are very similar, that's there's going to be a lot of the same that is going to be in the match. We saw it here. I mean, for fans that are into guys that throw big bombs, and I've seen a lot of people on Twitter say that this is actually their kind of match because it's two big dudes throwing bombs at one another. But it's kind of a mirror match between these two. They're very similar, and they've grown to be more and more similar throughout their tag team that they have been doing.
And to me, we've seen this style. The problem, more than anything, it's my style of match too, but the problem is we've seen the same style done much better before by many people, including Big Dog Shuji Ishikawa, to me, is not who he was 5 years ago.
Of course not, and he can't be. I mean, he's been around for a long time, too. He's been wrestling for 17 years now. He's 44 years old, so the time and the experience that he has, of course, wears on him.
And, you know, my style of match, that's great and all, but let me, here's another my style of match. Who did it better, these two or Okabayashi and Tank Nagai a couple of months ago?
Okabayashi and Nagai.
Yeah, was that not a very similar style of match?
Yeah,
stylistic.
It was.
Hey, so, I mean, that's all I'm saying on this one. I don't think that, you know, the time, I always say this, that is a criticism, and these guys, they didn't fill it out properly, but I think if you have the right guys, you can make some, you know, great things happen. But I just don't think these were the guys together, whether it was 15 minutes or 28 minutes. I don't think they have a great, great match in them to the level of Suwama and Ashino that we saw last month, which to me was a great, great match. Finish aside, there's been a lot of questionable booking lately in pro-res and big title matches. We just talked about it in Stardom. But to me, whatever you want to say, that match was awesome, action-packed, and totally worked. These two, I don't think there's a way. I think we'll have your, like, using the cage match rating system, 6, 7, maybe 8, if you catch them on their best circumstances. But I don't see a 10 out of 10 match between these guys.
Going to the cage match ratings for this match, Suwama versus Shuji Ishikawa, we actually have a 10, a 9, and an 8. So people like this match.
Yeah, a lot of people liked it. That's fine.
Yep.
Again, stylistically, this is a very easy match to like.
Sure.
I don't know, though. I don't really...
It's overly complicated, as I said. Yeah. You don't really have to think around... You don't have to really think a lot about which leg they worked over and whatever. Yeah. It's just two guys punching each other and throwing each other.
And they did some big stuff. Like, they did some great spots in this match. Look at the one where even Big Dog Shuji, he had a missile drop kick at one point.
Yep.
They did the Fire Thunder on the floor, which was a huge spot.
He did the Splash Mountain on Suwama for a two count only.
Yeah. Another thing that I think hurt this match, too, I really started to think that, again, I mentioned this before, and I will continue banging this drum. Not that I would ever put myself over, but let's just pretend that I did. I have always believed history will vindicate my stance that the empty arena wrestling was not that bad. And I think that this version of wrestling we have, with the fans not allowed to make noise, is kind of even more off-putting, actually, and kind of takes away from things, in my opinion. I don't know if this is a popular one or not, but I feel like it's very just... There's something not right about it. I mentioned baseball earlier. They've done this thing with the virtual fans, their games. And it's a concept I could see working, and just like this here, I could see it being a good idea. It's definitely a good idea to make more money to have people there. But to me, just as a viewer, it's kind of off-putting to me, to have this situation.
The virtual fans, I've seen it in some football games in Denmark. I thought that was very creepy, with people just watching on a long Zoom, and you had these giant heads on the stands and the players on the pitch. I don't know, that looked creepy to me. I don't necessarily have a problem yet with how that's going down. I made the point that the fans in the New Japan case in Osaka Joel made it work very well, but I can see where you're coming from. It seems like, and not only seems like that, people are not allowed to behave naturally in these situations.
Exactly.
They have to obey to a lot of rules, and that is what that can be off-putting. I can see that.
Yeah, but I disagree with the cage match on this one, but, you know, it's fine. I could totally see why people thought this was a great match. You had a lot of boxes were checked off, but to me, it just didn't quite click for me.
So, alongside the show, they announced the schedule for the Champion Carnival that is supposed to go down in September, and the final is on October 5, and they announced 6 dates for the tournament: September 12, September 13, 15, 21, 26, and then the final in Korakuen Hall that I just mentioned. So from the schedule, there is 2 possible scenarios, and they will announce that in a couple of days, what they are going to do. A, they could do 2 smaller blocks, Or, which is more likely, I think, because right around the time of this year, they would usually do the Royal Road tournament, that they will do a single elimination tournament.
Yes, I think that's what's going to happen. If you look at the number of shows, it would take a very weird number to like pull off this exact amount of shows, or people would have to work twice on shows. So to me, I think it'll definitely be a single elimination tournament. But you know, you never know. They could surprise us. You know, we don't really know who's going to be in it yet. How they're going to pull it off? It'll definitely be a lot different than what it was before with the foreigners out. Yeah. So. Yeah, we'll talk about that more when they announce the people. I think that exactly. are there. We'll have some kind of preview for that or something. That might be a Patreon show whenever they announce it.
Yeah, they will announce it on August 8th on their YouTube page. So look out for that.
Hey, can I ask you one thing about again, just backing up this other show and an even further show back? Actually, I wanted to ask your opinion on a couple of things because we haven't talked about this.
Yeah,
I think it's worth talking about. So first of all, this Izanagi push. that's going on in All Japan, including a pinfall victory over Kento Miyahara.
That was so weird, right?
When this happened, I was just thinking, like, what's going on in All Japan right now?
Like, they didn't even back it up again. Because after the Triple Crown match, Kento Miyahara and Jiro Ikemen Kiyoshio, they just came out and challenged for the World Tag Team title, whereas Izanagi pinned Miyahara and is now going for the All Asia title. There is some weird pinfalls and losses and wins going on in All Japan as of late. And you mentioned that in our half-year watch show too. For example, the Enfants Terribles, they've been on the losing end a lot. And especially with fans returning, I think that is a big mistake.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, a lot of people argued with me on this when it happened, but now I really feel justified based on that title defense. And we could talk about that with another person that we may be about to talk about as well, who maybe got a title shot too early and is now taking falls. So this is a very popular trope, again, in Japanese wrestling this last month or so. It's like somebody getting a shot too early, and I'll be like, man, why are they giving it to him? And then everyone's like, no, it's too early for him to win. But then why why have it then? If you're going to do this with him, why build a guy up in Ashino? Like, the rest of the guys, they're fine, like, but the star is Ashino. Like, and I love Hokuto Mori, and he was actually the star of that match, even, that they had on this show, him going after Kento. But that's great and all. The star right now is Ashino. When he came in, he changed everything around. They had a great feud with Kento. Why did you divert from that to have him randomly challenge for the title with no fans, lose, and then lose every match in the next month, nearly, if not all of them, that they've been in? This entire group, it's so, like, I mentioned it on the half-year show. They had lightning in a bottle, and for some reason, they decided to put it out. And I can't understand why. And I'm not confident at all about his champion carnival. And that's another common clapback people would throw at me, is that he's probably going to win the champion carnival. We don't know that's going to happen based on this booking.
Looking at the matches that the stable had, that Alphonse Terribles had, since April 30, when they came in, they won every match up until June 7. Mm-hmm. Then they started losing. They lost two. They won again on July 18, and then they lost their next two multi-man matches. And along the way, of course, there were some singles matches. Yusuke Kodama, for example, was in some opening matches, beat Atsuki Aoyagi, for example, there. But the big push that they had gotten initially, that was completely stopped.
Yeah, no idea why. Like, that makes no sense to me.
And especially with them adding Hokuto Omori as their newest member, who is really fired up in this new role, they should be giving them more.
Are you telling me Rising Hayato couldn't have taken a fall in this match right now?
Well, he's rising, of course, so no.
Maybe that's what this is all about. This whole push has not been about the Infants. It's about pushing Rising Hayato, ultimately. That's the big plan. But that's what it kind of feels like to me, is that somebody mentioned this to me. I'm sorry for forgetting who said this, but so I don't want to make it as my own because somebody else said it first. But they were kind of saying that maybe this whole thing is actually a vehicle to get Omori over, and the rest of them now don't matter, which makes no sense to me at all.
That would be a big mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I love Omori. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, I love Hokuto. The North Wolf. North Wolf bias in full effect right now. But it's just so disheartening. And to me, like, Kodama, I've mentioned it, he's done a very good job and stepped his game up. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't hit, it's not the end of the world. Arashi, he was never going to be a star. Ashino, ultimately, is the jewel of this group. And to see him go down like the way they're doing it, and who knows, especially considering, again, some other companies maybe have a habit of pushing guys out of nowhere. Maybe they're just bottoming him out so he can win at the end and it'll surprise everybody. But I don't think it's the right way to go about it, ultimately. I think they had something, and now they've really dropped the ball. In 1 month's time, they had this hot month like with them. Like you said, up until June 7th, it felt like they had this super hot angle, and now we're never going to see that come to fruition. And hopefully, even if he wins the Champion Carnival, I don't think it'll be what it could have been, because they just haven't booked it how they should, in my opinion. But regardless, I wanted to bring that point up, because I think it's very much worth talking about what is going on in All Japan. But, at the very least, we have Kento, Jiro, Akira, and Hayato's big adventure now to save us.
I was going to say, what do you make of this new group?
Okay, well, Hayato's really young. You know, he's kind of an indie guy that came into All Japan. Yeah, I have no problem with him, but, you know, he's not somebody I think is going to be the next ace or anything like that. Akira, I really like as a junior. I love this team with, again, Hokuto Omori last year. Akira Hokuto, like, they represented really well in the junior tag tournament. I think he's somebody that's done great. And with him and Aoyagi, Atsuki Aoyagi, that is, I think they've done a good job of now having a little bit more variety in the junior ranks. Now they've got some more high-speed, high-flyer type of guys. And he's really good. Kento, we know him. He's the ace. Jiro, I don't really like, and I don't think he's that over, like, either. But we don't know that for sure without the fans. But I do think that this group is really weird. When you look at these four guys together that you don't think have that much in common, Hayato, Akira, Kento, and Ikemen, what is the thread between these four right now?
I don't know. I don't really know. Ikemen and Kento Miyahara both do big entrances.
This one on this show was even more obnoxious than usual.
Oh, yeah. Jiro.
I don't know if you caught that. Somebody was saying it was longer. To me, it didn't feel longer. It just felt more obnoxious. But it might have been longer.
I didn't watch the show live, so I always skip forward when I watch the Jiro entrance. I don't hate the guy. But it's...
Well, I don't hate him as a person.
No. Sure not even as a wrestler. I don't really have anything particular against him. I just can't really watch the entrance anymore because I've seen it so many times. So I'm skipping forward, usually, when he does his entrances, and they take up to 2 minutes. So, yeah, I don't know. They're challenging for the tag titles, though, and I really believe that Kento and Ikemen will win the tag championship.
I don't like that because I don't like Ikemen at all. I'm still waiting for him to come to America, but unfortunately that appears to not be in the cards anytime soon.
I love how you always bring that up.
I hate this. Like, I hate this guy in All Japan. Every time we bring up Jiro, I can't wait to get rid of him. You know, until he goes, I will bring this up because I don't want him here. I want him here in America. I love you, Jiro. Come to America. I'm begging you. But no, like, I don't like this team very much, but on the other hand, glass half full type of deal, I think this is much better than Kento doing what he's doing, because it feels like he's not the ace at all doing this kind of match, unfortunately. And even in this match, I didn't really like their performance, because if you notice, Hokuto, you mentioned it earlier, he was super fired up and trying to go at Kento and prove himself and all of this. But with Kento and Jiro, they're more happy just to goof around. You know, like, they didn't really sell this as much as you could have. And I guess it doesn't matter because they're going to move on anyway. So I guess it didn't matter. They're going to move on to the tag team titles. But, you know, I think Jiro doesn't bring out the best in Kento. I would rather Kento team with someone else. But who knows? When the fans come out, maybe this will be super over with Jiro. Maybe he will catch fire. And on top of that, he does get to fulfill his dream of being in the Champion Carnival.
Yeah, absolutely. They can. We'll see about the Champion Carnival lineup. I want to talk about two more lineups that we have for All Japan. They are doing the Atsushi Aoki Memorial Show on August 15. The card that they have announced for this one is as follows. They have Hikaru Sato and Takuya Wada against Kagetora and Gosamaru in a Atsushi Memorial Tag Match. Sato and Wada, two friends, and Kagetora and Gosamaru on the other side are two former... They're two friends of Atsushi Aoki. They were in the same wrestling club, the amateur wrestling club, that is, in their school days together. So I think that is a very cool match to make. Kagetora, obviously, from Dragon Gate. Gosamaru is a wrestler from Ryukyu Dragon Pro Wrestling, the company in Okinawa, owned by Gurukun Mask. Then we have Ultimo Dragon and Tajiri against Francesco Akira and Rising Hayato. Jun Akiyama returns to All Japan Pro Wrestling for one show, teaming with Masanobu Fuchi, Dan Tamura, and Sushi against Takao Mori, Osamu Nishimura, Koji Iwamoto, and Black Mensore. Yoshitatsu and Yusuke Okada. They are a tag team now, Dylan.
Great. These are wonderful news.
Great way to break away Yusuke Okada from Evolution and now... He's teaming with Yoshitatsu.
You know, him and Tachibana, they had a role that was fine. Why couldn't it have just been them as a team and Okada could move up? Like, why couldn't Okada have moved up? This is my guy, Striga. They're killing me. Like, this company right now is killing me.
I don't know why they don't use Okada to the length that they could use him. Because he really is a guy that should be on the up and coming. He changed his gear. He now the gear actually is very similar to the one that Keisuke Okuda wears in Dragon Gate.
Yeah, I actually like the old gear better. I like this yellow gimmick. I'm not a huge fan. I like the blue better, but that's just me. Maybe blue bias, but I do agree with you that it's very similar. It's also similar to what he used to wear before his injury, the original yellow gimmick. But that's fine. It's more the push that's the problem. But if you watch, I want to recommend this because I always bring this up on the Patreon shows when I talk about All Japan, but I'd like to point this out to the people at large. If you have All Japan or can watch it or whatever, there's these great documentaries on All Japan TV.
Oh, yeah.
The Dojo one was really great. Yeah. And he's a standout character on a lot of them, too. I really enjoy watching him and seeing his thoughts on things and his approach to wrestling. He seems like a guy... and I mentioned this. I even wrote about it months ago on the Patreon in one of my Match of the Month articles where he was in it. He struck me, and I can kind of tell this myself, but he really feels like a guy who just gets... every element of pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And in the documentary, you could kind of see that shine through. And a lot of people noticed that. So he's somebody I really, really like in the company. But this team with Yoshitatsu is not what I want to see. And hopefully they can just move away from this as quickly and quietly as possible.
Seems like a weird fit, definitely. They go against Shotaro Ashino and Yusuke Kodama. Then the other Enfance Terrible... Team Kuma Arashi and Hokuto Omori go against the Aoyagi brothers, Yuma and Atsuki. All Asia Tag Team title, Yankee Nicho Kenju, Isami Kodaka and Yuko Miyamoto defend against Purple Haze, Zeus and Izanagi. And on the topic of Purple Haze, I gotta say, at least they moved away from their very interference-heavy start that they had. We saw these clips of Izanagi being in the bar on his own. He was away for some time. Now he returned, and he teams with Zeus now. They suddenly win again. They backed away from cheating. They are just a team that is a heel team. That's much better, actually. I can see them taking the championship. Why not? I don't know.
Yeah, a million times better than what they were doing before. So I'm very excited to see how this goes. And listen, it's undeniable proof. The gimmick wrestling and the interference stuff... They weren't having any success, but when they dropped it, he beat Kento, the ace of the company. And who would have ever thought Izanagi, Maruyama, would get a pinfall victory over Kento Miyahara? But it happened thanks to listening to me and my guidance in wrestling, that this style totally sucks and they need to get rid of it. So thankfully, they've moved away from that. And yeah, like you said, Yankee Nicho Kenju, they're great champions, but Izanagi and Zeus, they would be fine too. If they just let them wrestle, I really like them as talents. So that should be a good match.
Absolutely. And in the main event, we have another Atsushi Aoki Memorial match. Zuwama, Shuji Ishikawa, and Shigehiro Irie take on the team of Kento Miyahara, Jake Lee, and Yuji Okabayashi in a proper six-man dream match.
Should be a great match. Like, there's no doubt about it. Irie... back, not in Purple Haze anymore, now teaming with the Violent Giants, and this should be a great match. I can't wait to see it.
What do you make of this Atsushi Aoki Memorial Show going down without a single Noah wrestler appearing on the card?
Makes absolutely no sense, especially for reasons we would find out like 2 hours ago. Like I said, even less sense then. But definitely, I don't know, man. Like I don't even want to speculate on what caused this, but it makes no sense. You're telling me Go can't be on this show?
Yeah, it absolutely throws a wrench in your idea of this 20th anniversary show of Noah and All Japan absolutely. Together. I don't see this happening now that there is no Noah participation on this show.
I think that ship has sailed for a while now, especially with all the virus stuff. Who knows what that changed. Mm. But now, especially with this, like I said, I don't understand this at all. Like, you know, if Akiyama is representing DDT, then that's like they're in the same company.
I feel like this is a personal thing that Akiyama is on this show. I mean, in my opinion, it has a clear message that there is no Noah wrestlers on this All Japan show, and the message is Noah and All Japan aren't working together for now.
Yes, absolutely. Like no, not even Kotaro.
Not even for this sentimental cause.
Yeah, unreal. Like I said, I hope that there's some kind of explanation besides that, because that sounds really petty. In my opinion, like this show should be more about, like, this should not be a political show.
No, it's really depressing. To be quite honest.
Yeah, and I don't understand it. Like, if Akiyama is personally there, again, like, then why can't the others be personally there? Mm. Like, you know, it just, I don't understand it at all. I just hope that there's some kind of other explanation.
You're telling me that Takashi Sugiura can't just on his own accept a booking by All Japan and Noah will, I don't know, throw him out or something?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the Noah side is the one that's causing this, that maybe Akiyama doesn't have to deal with. But why? Like, that makes no sense. Why would they do that when Sugiura was going to work Champion Carnival 5 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
So what could the problem be that came up in 4 months?
Yeah, I don't know, but there must be something going on, because that's very sudden that there have been so many changes. And I mean, this show, as I said, this memorial show for Atsushi Aoki, who has been so crucial for both Pro Wrestling Noah and for All Japan Pro Wrestling, not going down with Noah participation, is just that it just feels totally wrong.
There's no explanation that can make this better. Like, no. I feel like, that they could have. Like, this is wrong, however you say it. Who knows who's to blame for it, but it's a very sad thing. And there's a lot of conspiracies, you know, we don't know yet, but there, it feels like there's a lot of changes going on in a lot of places in ProRes right now, and who knows what this is all about, or who knows who maybe a phone call was made between companies that want to work together that maybe have more importance than Noah or All Japan in the grand scheme of things. We don't know what the deal is, unfortunately.
Before we go to the big news that you just touched on, there's one more big show, Kuroken Hall, August 30, with 3 title matches. Tajiri defends the EWA Intercontinental Championship, that's an Austrian title, against Utamaro. Then Koji Imamoto makes his first defense of the junior title against Dan Tamura, and the Violent Giants defend their World Tag Team title against the aforementioned team of Kento Miyahara and Jiro Ikemen Kuro Shio. So, because you brought it up, I'm kind of pushing the Hiromu and Evil match to the end of the show. Noah and DDT, Dylan. This was the news that came out earlier today, that there is now a parent company for both wrestling promotions by the name of Cyberfight. And they announced that on a press conference today, with Sanshiro Takagi and Naomichi Marufuji being there, as well as some other representatives of the company. For example, Akito was there and Yuka Sakazaki was there too. So they made sure to represent most of the companies that are behind Cyber Agent or Cyber Fight. Cyber Agent is the parent company, and Cyber Fight is now going to be kind of the umbrella for both DDT and Pro Wrestling Noah. I'm going to read this here. DDT and Noah, which are under the umbrella of Cyber Agent, will merge their operations and establish a new company called Cyber Fight. It was announced at a press conference held in Tokyo on this day. This is the first time the new company has been established. Sanshiro Takagi will continue to serve as president, with Naomichi Marufuji and Akito as executive vice presidents. Noah and DDT have already shared office work as part of CyberAgent, but with the goal of looking ahead to pro wrestling management in the wilds of the Corona after Corona era, they decided to integrate operations further and establish a new company. The three companies, including DDT Foods, will merge to CyberFight on September 1st of this year. The three companies' administrative operations will be unified to streamline costs and deepen group synergies. President Takagi stressed that there will be no changes whatsoever in the front lines of each organization's functions, including those in the ring, and that they will be recognized internally into DDT and NOAH divisions. So, from these words of Takagi, that means that DDT and NOAH will still operate as separate companies, but behind the scenes, it seems like the offices will be merged.
Yeah, this is much more of a behind-the-scenes type of thing to me than anything in-ring. Like, I don't think they're suddenly going to have big, you know, in-ring changes. They kind of tried to push that forward in the press conference. Marufuji's like, nothing's going to change. Like, Noah's not going to be like DDT. It felt like, if anything, they were kind of... It felt like they're kind of scared to push too much in this, kind of, like, the two companies working together in-ring. We saw it with the Congo coming into DDT thing. Mm-hmm. It's like they kind of went to that, and they just scratched the surface before they immediately pulled back. So it feels like they definitely don't want people thinking that NOAH is going to become like DDT.
Yeah, absolutely, and that was what I took away from that, too. They really made sure to emphasize that the companies will remain as they are, because I think they are kind of afraid of a backlash from both companies' fan base, because obviously the fan bases for NOAH and DDT are vastly, vastly different. So they don't want to offend any fan base at the moment, at least I think. I think they will go to somewhat of more talent exchange in the future, kind of going one step at a time to not offend any fan base. But it really was striking how they clearly emphasized that. I don't see a change coming in the near future, but with this parent company being there, I mean, they could pull the plug at any minute.
Absolutely.
They could just say,
you're right,
this is going to be one big company now. But for now, they are hoping that the fan bases accept it for what it is.
You have to wonder if that won't come one of these days. You know, we've seen them inching closer and closer together. But one thing that is worth noting is that they really emphasized that this was predicated by the pandemic that mm-hmm. caused a lot of the business changes. Yeah. And maybe it would be a lot smarter to do things this way and just streamline things a little bit more. So I do think we can't count that out. And maybe when the fans come back, it might be a little bit easier to keep up this two promotion deal. But you're completely on the money. You know, you cannot count them out one day just saying, look, this makes no sense. Why do we have two when we can have one? You know.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at the wording of streamlining costs to deepen
yes.
group synergies, to me that's management talk of people lost their jobs.
I think you are exactly right. So like again, if you're going to have one company, that requires less guys running it to operate it. So that means less pay to go out. So again, I really think that played a big role in it.
I mean,
and hopefully
we even
yeah.
saw it in New Japan when
they
said that people in the office, they took a pay cut up to 95% to not lose their jobs, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, it's these are unprecedented times that we're dealing with. So I think if things could calm down and get to back to what it was before, or some version of that at least, where at least full crowds are accepted at least, I think that might change some things. But if things keep going how they are, there's going to be even more pressure in the future the longer this goes. If 6 months from now fans aren't allowed fully into shows, like who knows what they're going to be looking at. Mm-hmm. But this is all speculation at this point. Like nobody knows what's going to happen. For now, I would just take it for what it is and just streamlining the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I don't think there will be any imminent changes, but it's something to keep an eye on 6 months from now, a year from now. Where are we at? in the society of Japan and what's going on in the cyber agent family of wrestling companies. We may even see some more changes in the future on some of the smaller shows, like Gambari Pro and Tokyo Joshi Pro, what they're planning to do there. So it's something to keep an eye on, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you can't really say too much about it because it's just something that came out earlier today. But there's, as I said, as you said too, there's some interesting parts of it, some interesting wording of it. Very carefully, everything was very carefully worded. One thing that caught my attention was that Akito is now one of the executive vice presidents of the company. I hope that doesn't mean that he cuts back from his in-ring time. Because he's great.
Yeah, he's really good. You know, I think he's one of my favorite guys in DDT. Works a good technical style. And it's nice to see him get this shot as an EVP in the company, executive vice president. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But I agree with you. Hopefully he stays in the ring as much as he always is.
Absolutely. Good. From there, I only have one thing left on my notes here. And that is New Japan. We've talked about them a lot in our recent shows. They had their Sengoku Lord in Nagoya show and also two Kurikan Hall shows on Sunday and Monday that were, I mean, it was basically the same show twice. And they had this Sengoku Lord show with Hiromu challenging for the IWGP Heavyweight or for the IWGP Double Championship for the first time. What did you think of this match?
Evil and Hiromu?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, so to me, this was such an interesting match in so many ways, but Hiromu, I thought, gave a spectacular performance in his role in the match. Like, very, very good. And the epitome of this, whatever happened in the match, and, you know, we can talk about the whole match as it is, but just for him, the epitome of this is when the one thing that would say whether this match was a success for him or not was, I think many, many people believed and knew in their heart that Hiromu was not going to win this match. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very, very, very unlikely.
Yes.
But can he make you believe? And this is something I always go with, that to me, that's what separates the great workers from the not great workers, maybe the really good ones. To me, if you're in a match where nobody believes you could win, can they make you believe? Someone like Goto has that. Someone like Ishii has that. And then we saw where he hit the time bomb too, and they did that horrible spot of pulling the referee out that surely nobody likes. Not me, because I never liked it to begin with. But they did this horrible spot. The crowd bought it. Like, they were ready for him to win, even though it made no sense. Like, you know, like, realistically. The crowd was ready. And I noted, too, that despite whatever scenarios you want to bring in saying you can't cheer, the crowd got into this match during this match. You know, like, whatever rules you want to say, they were broken. And it is what it is. And this is what I kind of said. This is that the rules, quote unquote, and a lot of people are using that as an excuse for why Naito and Evil didn't get over. To me, the rules are kind of like when people bring up, let's say a big show happens and a lot of people are like, it was on a Monday. Like, you know, like it's in a weekday. You can't expect anything good. And yet there's so many times that it's happened and the crowd all came. Like, at the end of the day, no matter what the side, whatever excuses you want to make, and maybe I'm not going to say that the rules are a little different here. Of course they're going to follow them. But no matter what excuses you have, at the end of the day, if you put on a show that people want to see, they'll find a way to see it. And in these rules, like, it's going to be tough. It's tougher than usual because there are rules there and they're going to want to follow them. But if you're that hot and you're that over and the people believe in you, they will react. These are human beings at the end of the day, not robots. So that shows me right there that the crowd was ready for this. And if there were no rules, that stadium would have, or that arena would have been rocking all over the place for Hiromu. Like, he just did a spectacular job. They accomplished the goal where they made you believe. The match itself, though, at the end of the day, it all boils down to this. Nearly immediately, Dick Togo was involved in this match on the outside, and I don't care what suit he's wearing or how cool he looks. I don't want to see a match where people are interfering throughout, and that's what we got here with Dick Togo. You know, I, at the end of the day, so automatically I'm not going to like it.
The thing,
but I'd also, yeah.
The question that I have for you now is, did you believe that Hiromu would be winning? Did you buy the Nearfall with Taimon 2?
Yes. I didn't buy it in that, like, it was, again, it's much like when Goto or Ishii have a big match, mm-hmm. where it's like, well, in my head, I know he's not going to win, but then when he did that, I was like, well, maybe we'll win. Like, yeah. like he deserves it. And this title reign sucks. Like, give it to a guy who deserves it.
I mean, it's so difficult. The match itself was so difficult for me because I knew going in that Evil would be winning. And I knew that there would be shenanigans, and I knew that there would be cheating, and I knew that there would be at least one ref bump, and maybe also the situation that Dick Togo would pull the ref out. That is what they do.
I hated that.
That is what they do now. That is their idea of a heel title run. They have this one concept, and that is what they are doing now. And that is why I did not buy the match. I didn't buy Hiromu being a threat to Evil for 1 second. And that is not a good start for any match to begin with. And that is why I never really got into the match. I mean, I reacted big to some of the spots that Hiromu did. For example, the Death Valley bomb on the apron was great. He was in various great spots in the match. But whenever Evil was on top, doing what he apparently is supposed to do now, they lost me. They completely lost me.
That is 100% understandable. And I think nobody can blame you. Well, I mean, everybody can blame everyone for anything. But to me, realistically, like fairly, nobody can blame you for that. And I think to counter that, I think if you look at this match, Hiromu controlled a lot of it. You know, when he was on top, he had a lot of the offense in this match, which I thought was a very poor start to this title reign. You know, to be honest with you, for him, it's like you need 30 minutes and a million interferences to beat this junior champion. And like, you know,
crazy,
on a
right?
2 week build. Yeah. You know, isn't that just, you know, it's just kind of crazy. Like you said, this whole title reign is crazy.
I love how in this, there was this 20 minute video of Hiromu Takahashi explaining his motivations before going into the show, and he totally,
oh, that was so good.
It was such a great video, and the greatest part about it is that he totally tore apart the storyline of Evil joining the Bullet Club.
Yeah,
he basically
yeah.
said the same thing that we said when we discussed Evil joining the Bullet Club, that he should just have gone with his own group instead of joining the Bullet Club. But then Hiromu also said that he wanted to understand Evil's motivation of turning his back against L.I.J., and I don't know how he was supposed to accomplish that through doing this match.
That's true. To me, like, that video was great, and to me, if you ask my opinion, if I were ranking the wrestlers, Hiromu is the number one overall performer in this company where it comes to wrestling, overness, promos. To me, I don't think anybody is as good as him as an overall performer. Like, whatever you want to say about anybody else, there are guys, like, maybe, you know, Ishii's a great worker, but he couldn't have, like, done a 20-minute video explaining an LIJ faction split, you know. The crowd didn't pop the way they did for anybody else on this show until he hit that time bomb, too, pretty much. So, to me, I really think that Hiromu is an amazing worker and promo, and like you said, he must be a listener to the show, because he clearly followed our instructions that we laid out on the previous episode about the turn, so we have to respect that. Another thing, I think you made a great point a second ago, where it was like, this Evil stuff, it's what they do, you know, like, that's kind of the thing, and a lot of people were complaining. A very common complaint about this match was like, where is L.I.J. like, mm-hmm. during all of this? And it's always that
way. It was explained afterwards that Hiromu afterwards said that he specifically instructed L.I.J. to not interfere into the match.
Okay, I didn't like this for that reason. They should have not did this, because here's my problem with that. Then where was L.I.J. when they were beating him down after the match for like 5 minutes?
Right.
They didn't explain. Did you tell him that part? Like, do not come out until I am beaten down completely by this entire group.
It always is a very weak explanation when you come up with the first best thing that comes to your mind. For example, when they did the Kenta challenge for the title in February, where Jay White said, "Oh, I knew it all along."
Yeah, you hated that. I remember that.
Stupid. Yeah.
It really was. I will say this. I appreciate them trying to come up with that explanation, because everybody was pointing this out. Like, where was L.I.J.? Where was L.I.J.? But to me, I didn't even think about it that deeply. I was just like, the factions always do this. Like, whether it was Chaos at Bullet Club, the same bullcrap happened, where a million guys would interfere, and suddenly nobody was on the outside for some reason. And here, it just makes no sense. Like, you know, it makes absolutely no sense logically why there wouldn't be people on the outside to protect Hiromu and make this a fair fight, which in all likelihood, according to this match, he would have won. He's a better wrestler in Evil than Evil, according to this match, in the kayfabe world of New Japan. So,
I mean, the only reason that Evil is champion is the outside interference right now.
And I just love... If I were Hiromu and you were Naito and things played out exactly the same, I would be so pissed at you. I would leave the faction because he got beaten down after this stupid match. To me, this wasn't a great match, but you have to consider Hiromu's amazing performance.
And on top of that, I find it so comical how everyone else in LIJ is just moving on like nothing ever happened.
No, I mean, they were laughing and joking about beating up the referee earlier on in the show. You know, like, good job, Sonata. You drop-kicked Marty Asami. All our problems are over, buddy. Thanks, man.
And something that we always bring up, as you mentioned, they are having their kind of match. Something that was brought up by Jamesy in a tweet on Saturday as well. I can't find it right now. Jamesy, of course, long-time listener of the show. He also brought up that what we always bring up, that there is a lot of sameness in New Japan at the moment, and that everybody basically is in their role and is basically always doing their kind of match. It's their match. Evil versus Naito was a Naito match. Hiromu did his stuff against Evil, and Evil did his stuff against Hiromu, and it came together as whatever this match was. I didn't particularly like it. It is very hard to get behind a lot of things in New Japan these days. The only one that seems to be having different matches these days is, in fact, Shingo Takagi.
Yeah, just to say this about the Hiromu thing, because we'll get to Shingo in a second. I do like that they started off the match with him attacking Evil right away, at least. If they started off with a stare down or some bullcrap, I would not have liked that at all. Kind of like Okada and Yujiro did in their thing. An amazing booking decision that was.
And that is, before you go to Hiromu point, that's another thing that we need to talk about again. That is Okada wanting to have an Okada match with a guy that is clearly not on his level. I mean, we talked about Yujiro. He had some good performances as of late, but he is just not good in these Okada matches where you're supposed to do a lot of reversals in very quick fashion. That is simply not his wrestling.
Absolutely not. At least it was not 30 minutes, which I think many people feared.
One positive note of that match.
Yeah, exactly. It's far from a great performance. Like, if that was supposed to be some kind of star-making move for Yujiro,
I checked that on Saturday. It had a rating of 3. Something on Facebook. We're now at 4.45 now.
Oh, okay. Well, moving on up. It might make it up to 5 at this rate. But yeah, that definitely wasn't a great match.
Yeah, your point with Hiromu.
Yeah, Hiromu. He did all this great stuff. The crowd was so invested in him. And then he gets beaten down for 5 minutes, mercilessly, by the Bullet Club. Ishimori runs out. That sets up a title challenge, which he'll probably lose. the way things are going. But he gets beaten down.
He went from challenging for the double championship to losing in a 6-man tag match to his next challenger, Taiji Ishimori, within 3 days, and as you mentioned, he's probably losing the belt there.
No protection right now, but he's probably moving up to heavyweight.
So yeah, sure. Somehow I have to get rid of the title.
Yeah. You know, it's fine. I have no problem with Ishimori.
That's fine.
Okay, so but anyway, he has this amazing performance. Like I said, to me, it's like, this is a case where it makes no logical sense for him to win, which is the problem with this match. It should never have been booked in the first stupid place because they've ruined his first title match for no reason on 2 weeks build to do a stupid Evil match that didn't even put Evil over because Evil needed all this bullcrap to beat a junior. So it didn't even make Evil look good. It was totally stupid. He gets beaten down, and then what happens? Naito finally comes sauntering out with no sense of urgency at all, but sets up this challenge which renders this whole title reign pointless from Evil. Now that he comes in, he's probably going to win the double titles back at the big. And I get that you needed a big thing.
Thinking the same, yeah.
Yeah, like, and he comes back, and this is the part that annoys me the most. I actually think that, considering where they were going, and I'm jumping ahead again, but the Jingu Stadium show is coming up. We didn't know that at the time, but they needed a big thing for that.
Yes.
I think I understand doing this storyline. As much as I don't like these Evil matches, I don't hate the storyline itself, despite that there's little part, like, there's portions of it that are stupid. But yeah, in the grand scheme of things...
Exactly. In the grand scheme of things, they at least are trying something.
Exactly. They're trying something new. So I cannot rip this as much as I want to, because I just don't think this is all wrong in so many ways. But, so he comes in, and again, another thing that was thrown at a lot of people after their first match was like, Naito, yeah, he didn't care, but that's just his character. But now he's all aggressive and talking about how he wants his title reign. He needs the belts back to show it to the fans. Where was this in the first match? Like, why was that not good motivation in the first match where you had the titles already? Where was that? Like, why did you react tranquilo then? And now, after you have Hiromu get his ass whooped for 45 minutes for no reason, nobody helped him because he said so, apparently, in this world of LIJA that we're supposed to believe now. You let him get beaten up, and now you come out, and now you're aggressive about it, and now you care about the title so much. Like, why? Why didn't this happen in the first title match?
I mean, a lot of things in New Japan right now feel that they take one step forward, and then they take two steps backward in storylines.
It was so goofy. Like, I'm glad that he's at least cares about this now, which is what he should do, and which I think we all agree, you know, that he should have done the first time. But who booked this, man? Like, you don't care about the title defense, but now you want it back so much after you had a worthless title challenge from, you know, your second in command now, or third in command, or however Hiromu is ranked in LIJ. I hated that so much. And, like, we think, and I you know, you said it right there, we both basically think Naito's going to win the titles.
Yes, you know. So they announced they will be doing this big show in the baseball arena that you mentioned. They are going to the Jingu Baseball Stadium. First time in 21 years that they are going to do an outdoor show, August 29. Probably Evil against Naito in the main event of that show. We don't have cards yet. They have they still have 7 Kurikan All shows before that time.
Yes, of course. We have plenty of time to get the rest of the card. But I do like another thing I like on paper, okay? This is the parts I like about the storyline. You have an emotional turn where the fans are super invested.
Yes.
In LIJ, your most popular group, and now you could have a crazy-ass match, which is what Jingu Stadium is known for. We talked about some of the FMW matches. Mm-hmm. Even in the last New Japan show, they did a crazy Onita match.
By the way, Onita is also running an open air show in the Kawasaki Stadium on the same day, actually.
Yes, they renovated that to make it smaller. But, yeah. But still, that should be hilarious. But so now we can do I like that build. Like, you've done this storyline, an emotional storyline. There's going to be a crazy match probably out of it. There's probably going to be tons of interference. And I'm going to laugh my ass off if all of LIJ runs in for that and they didn't help Hiromu at all. But there's probably going to be all kinds of crazy stuff happening. So on that level, I think it makes total sense. You have something that maybe could be a draw. I don't think they've totally succeeded with Evil as champion by any means. But Naito is your most popular guy, even though Hiromu has a chance to be as well if they go with him. But I like the booking. We both think that he's going to win the title. I really had a really hard time believing Evil was going to main event the Tokyo Dome. So this makes total sense to me why this would happen. I thought it would be Okada, but... And then another thing I dislike. Like, let's get to these comments now with Okada. So before the show, he has this interview in Tokyo Sports, where he claims he doesn't care about the titles right now.
He feels that the titles, the worth of the championship was halved when the titles were basically unified.
I hate this IC title more than any other title in the world. Now, first of all, its entire existence, Naito has been telling us how he doesn't care about this title.
Yeah.
He doesn't want this title. It sucks.
And now you go to Okada saying that the title is worthless, basically.
It's worse than worthless. It's a net negative. It's so bad that it makes the other title worth less. Like, this is the worst title. This is worse than the dark title in DDT, where if you lose it, you keep it. Or it might have been Dragon Gate, but whatever
it was. DDT.
Yeah, I think it was DDT. Yeah, the King of Dark title or whatever. So this title is worse than that. Just by having it, it makes the world title mean so much less. This title sucks. Like, they should never bring it back.
I mean, interview, Okada said that rather than going for the double championship, he will now have a match with Yujiro Takahashi. That was exactly what he said.
Who booked this, man? This is crazy. And a lot of people are like, when you posted that, we got a ton of like response to that on Twitter. So we got this article, and a lot of the reaction was like, "What a dick!" what a baby! Like, dude, it's Tokyo Sports. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's not his real opinions, guys. I don't know how to tell. It's like when Tanahashi said that about the shows running back. These are not real feelings. They're saying what they want them to say. These are pro wrestlers. Do you not understand this, people? Like, oh my god, I was so like flabbergasted by some of the reactions.
The reactions were really crazy. Yes,
and it's no offense to the fans, but it's like, guys, like, you got to be like, these are wrestlers, you know? Like, they're not. It's not his real feelings. Like, you know, like, just because the IC title is with the world title, it doesn't make it mean any less in real life or more. It's a title. You know, it is what it is. But now we get to the Okada thing, and he cuts this terrible promo in Tokyo Sports about how much the titles don't mean anything anymore, and he'd rather have a match with Yujiro. So I just really have to wonder, like, where is all this going, ultimately? I feel like, you know, it's so crazy what they're doing right now.
Well, if I was booking this, Okada would appear in Pro Wrestling Noah and finally take the challenge of Kaito Kiyomiya.
Well, he just said that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
which is what everybody wanted to happen. Because after he beat Yujiro in that crappy match, he was like, I'm going to do something way different that you've never seen before out of me. And I was like, great! Like, that's exactly what we need from you. You do the same thing a million times over in the last 8 years. Please, give us something different. So then he says, I saw the comments. I'm not going to face somebody from another company. Like, oh, no.
So
okay.
What is there? What can you do?
Okay, like, let's speculate on this now. Again, we'd have no knowledge of this, but let's make some guesses, and who knows what it'll be at the end of the day. It's okay to be wrong. Let's just try and make some guesses at what he's talking about.
I mean, the craziest thing that I could really see, thinking about that, as you said, Okada's been doing the same stuff over and over again, is him going for different championships.
He's going back to the balloons.
Or that.
No. But don't worry, he still wrestled the same, even with the balloons, so it's okay. And still won all his matches, as well, if you notice. This terrible, depressed Okada that went like 7-1.
But let's say he actually challenges Shingo Takagi for the NEVER title.
See, that's what you want it to be. But that's what you want it to be. I don't know if that's going to happen. But it would be cool. I like that. That's a very basic idea that could totally work. You know, he's never held the NEVER title, never challenged for it. That would be great. I think people kind of wanted the Kaito thing, though, unfortunately. So that's kind of going to be seen. Whatever it is, it's going to be kind of seen as a disappointment. Here's my idea. I'm going to go all with this.
Uh-oh.
He announces that he's not going to be in the G1 this year. Instead, he's going to bring back the G2 climax with the winner. He's not going to be in that either. But the winner of the G2 climax will now get the opportunity to face him at the Tokyo Dome. And that is how he will get out of the title picture for the Dome scene. That is my prediction for all of this. I'm going to go off the wall with it. The G2 climax is back in New Japan.
Wow. I did not see that coming.
It would be amazing if that happened. It would give something to do. You know, maybe Yujiro could win again. He won't be in the G1.
Whatever it is, there has been so little out-of-the-box thinking in New Japan in recent time that I can't even see something crazy happening.
What you said wasn't even that out of the box.
No.
If you want to do the difference, like, that's something normal. Like, you know, he should have done this already. We talked about this for years. We wanted him to form a tag team and go after the tag titles, like Tanahashi and Ibushi are doing right now. So going after different titles isn't crazy. It's like, that's just smart. Some reason they haven't done it because he's been in the world title picture so much. But for him, it would be something different, at least. It would fulfill the promise that he's made. I just don't know. I don't know if facing Yujiro was the way to kickstart this new Okada off, I would say. And please get rid of that Cobra Clutch. Somebody tell him to get rid of this stupid move. Bring back the Rainmaker. Bring back the Red Ink.
Red Ink? No. Yes.
No, okay.
There's some... Okay. What's it? What's the move called? Money Trip or something? The...
the Money Trip.
Yeah, there's a name for the what is supposed to be a Cobra Clutch now.
Oh my god! That, no.
So we can stop calling it a Cobra Clutch. What's it?
It's
what's
really not name? A Cobra Clutch.
No,
anymore,
it
does
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly, it is. It is not a Cobra Clutch.
The Money Trip.
Money Clip. It's actually called Money Clip.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. But sure. You know, that's fine. Like, you know, bring back the Rainmaker. Like, get rid of this stupid money clip. You know, but that's fine. I just thought that Yujiro, you know, whatever. We'll see where it goes. At least that's something we can speculate about, which is better than usual.
At least,
you know?
Dylan, there is something good for you coming, because apparently they are going with Yoshi-Ashi as a challenger for Shingo Takagi.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Shingo Desperado match before we get to that. It was pretty good, I thought. I don't think this was as good as the Ishii and Desperado match.
Yeah,
I personally
agreed.
But Desperado did some good stuff. I really liked how Desperado specifically, there's only so much you could get out of this crowd, but he did a good job of trying to keep the fans invested with heel stuff, because if you notice at the start of the match when they were outside, they were pretty dead. Right? Yeah. I mean, this card sucked, like, by the way. Like, the undercard and everything, this was a totally boring show. Up to that point. And we just got rid of that stupid Yujiro and Okada match. So this crowd was super dead when they came out. They're no fault of their own. So I liked Desperado. By the end of it, though, he was able to heal them just the right ways. And not in, like, interference or any of that, but just doing little things, like making fun of the crowd, you know, pointing to them and stuff, and getting them into the match that way. So I thought he did a really good job as a heel in the match.
Also,
I was really
Yeah, absolutely. And in ring two, I thought the leg work that he did on Shingo Takagi was done well. And also, of course, from Shingo Takagi, he sold that so masterfully. Even after the match, he limped up to the backstage area. And from the last big show that he was standing there, you would think that there was someone attacking him. I think that is what they played off, because the last time we saw Shingo up on the ramp, he was attacked by El Desperado, and now he was limping, and he was so slow that anyone could have taken advantage of him, but nobody in the end did. But I thought that was a nice touch.
Shingo's awesome. Like, you know, he's another one of these guys. Just in-ring, I don't think the crowd has the connection with him like they do Hiromu, but just in-ring, Shingo is right up there. You know, and he's over, like, don't get me wrong, but he's not at that level to me in terms of the fans. But just in-ring, he has been the one that's carried the company this year. Even before the virus and stuff, he was probably the best guy to me. So I love Shingo and think he's done a great job. Him and Desperado was a good match. I don't think it really succeeded in getting Desperado that, like, it didn't elevate him any. It was just a good match, you know, but he did good in it too. I really appreciated the work they did. Again, the legwork, like you said, was very good. A fine match, I would say. Definitely the best. I thought that was definitely the best match.
Absolutely,
yeah. Like, far, far and away.
Yeah.
Yoshihashi, that should be a great match. Like I said, the battle of the karma. And the made in Japan on there. So that should be something. That'll be fun. Like I said, an easy title win for Shingo to pad out his reign. I want to see what they do, because I think they could have a really strong match if we see the Yoshi. Yeah.
We'll have to see what the cards are to speculate further on that topic.
Yeah, yeah. And this could have happened, for all we know, it'll happen on the 7th Cork and Hall show at the moment. They may throw that in there. But maybe. If they have it at the Jingu Stadium show, I think that's already, you're onto a good start with him and Shingo and Hiromu and Taiji and Naito and Evil. So LIJ playing a big role. It's clear that they're very heavily invested, the Bookers is anyway, in this LIJ story. So I think that's very smart to give all three of them big matches on this show that you need to draw people in, even if it's just halfway full or whatever. That's still like close to 20,000 fans. So you're going to need people to you know, be in there.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see about that, how that will all go down, and especially with the corona situation, we have to consider that as well. So, not an easy time right now. We sounded a little negative on New Japan, but it really feels stale right now. You can't go around that. But other than that, Dylan, there was a lot to take in this show. There is a lot of wrestling going on right now. A lot of good wrestling going on. We talked about a bunch of different companies. Check out Wrestle Universe. There's a lot of stuff on there. Check out Nico Nico. They have a lot of good content up there too. Check out the various streaming services. All Japan TV is going to have a bunch of shows in the upcoming weeks as well. So a lot of good stuff going on in Japanese wrestling.
Absolutely. I will say, even New Japan, like, I actually think this is the least stale they've been in a long time. If
really?
You count this evil title reign, this makes no sense to their current storylines, it feels like, and it's totally random. It's going to get back to being stale again when Naito wins the title back in a month. But yeah. To me, this was totally unexpected and off the wall. You have Dick Togo in there now.
That is really something that it was out of the box and that nobody saw coming, especially with Evil winning the championship too. That was out of the box thinking.
I don't think it's good. I just think it's different.
It's different. But doing. Other than that, there is hardly any movement up and down the card anywhere.
Shingo making the title a legit open weight title is a lot different than what we saw in the past. How many years have we talked about that? And now they're finally doing it. So I like that. That's actually good as well.
But is there any movement?
Any movement? No. No, not really. I mean, Evil took a pretty big step up.
Yeah.
He was as mid-card as you could get for the last year or so. And now he's the double champion. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, so to speak. I think it's interesting they put a lot of marbles in him, so to speak. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think ultimately this was just going to be looked at as a really random title reign, just to throw a wrench into things before the G1, which is going to be the first one in forever, that takes place in September and October. And like I said, I think it's going to get a lot staler when Naito wins the title back and we start seeing them go to more of a full, who knows what's going to happen with the virus and who's going to, how they're going to handle the fans. But to me, once Naito gets those titles back and things get open again more and more, we're going to see them go back into their old ways. And just look at this. We're still missing a lot of people that has forced a lot of these pushes. What's going to happen when Jay White gets back and Ospreay? They're probably going to push all these guys again just like they were before. So to me, I mean, I don't like what they're doing with this Evil stuff at all. Like I said, and I really hate the Hiromu title defense. Again, look at the last month at ProRes. This is something, this is going to sound negative to end it off with, but look at the last month. Ashino and Stardom, you had Tom Nakano and Jungle Kiona and Hiromu. You could argue that none of those four should have lost. Or if they were going to win, that would be great. But even if they weren't going to win, then the match shouldn't have been booked. So I really just have to question what's going on with the ProRes scene right now, giving away these title matches and hurting people like for no reason, it feels like.
And to once again, Dylan, back up my point of New Japan being stale. Yes, right. They did the Evil thing. That was not expected, and Dick Togo was not expected to come in either. But has it affected anyone else on the roster? The answer is no.
No. But
nobody seems to care about what happened there because Chaos is just doing their thing. LIJ in their position. Yes, Hiromu is battling Evil, but Shingo and Sanada, they are not. They are very much just doing what they are doing.
Yeah.
Then there is Hontai. Yes, they have this storyline with Suzuki-gun going on now, but that is nothing new either. The new thing is just Master Wato coming in there. So this big change on top doesn't seem to affect the company or the wrestlers in the company one bit. There was no... The big shake-up is not felt other than in the main event match.
I mean, you're right. I think the problem with me is that this company was so stale before that any change would be seen as a change, a worthwhile change. But when you say it like that, the way they've handled it, you're completely right on all of that. And I really think that this all would have been better if they had just not done this Hiromu match, first of all. what's going to happen is going to happen. And, like, they have their chosen one already, you know, like with Okada and Switchblade, Naito. Those guys are going to be around, the ones that have been the champions. They've at least added somebody new into that mix, which I think is, again, you're right that it's not a big change in terms of what people are feeling, but to a lot of people it came out of nowhere, and that's something that nobody would have predicted. And for New Japan, they are so locked into their ways most of the time that I feel like any change is a big deal. So I am looking forward to seeing how it plays out, especially, but to me, the most interesting person and how this is all going to go, because we didn't even really touch on this that much, but I think we should before we got it here. I know you're trying to end the show, but I think this is worth I think this is worth talking about, though. Hiromu, we think that he's going to lose the title and go heavyweight. Then where would that put him in the future then? Because a lot of the responses I got was, to me, talent-wise, I just said it earlier, the number one guy in the company, to me. I think if you pushed him, if they decided, look, we're going with him, he could be the most popular star in the company and be super over and do a great job. But will they do that? Because to me, giving him a title shot with 2 weeks build and to be just thrown in this, like thrown aside like this, even despite everything, I just wonder how much they believe in him and want to, how far they want to go with him, especially in the next year or so. Like, what are his plans, you think, for the Tokyo Dome, assuming that he is not going to be the junior champion? How far can he go in the G1? How far can he go into the Tokyo Dome?
I don't really know. That is so far away right now, at least in what we know where they are going. We had this kind of idea with Shingo and the NEVER title being in a big position in the Tokyo Dome. Maybe Hiromu will be slotted in a NEVER role for the Tokyo Dome. Maybe we'll see that.
Against Shingo?
Maybe not against Shingo. Maybe Shingo will lose the championship before that. We don't know about that yet.
Yoshihashi.
I mean, they need to go with Hiromu Takahashi. When one thing that was very obvious was that Hiromu Takahashi indeed is there to be in a bigger role than the champion of the junior heavyweights.
Yeah, and this one smart-ass guy responded to me after the show, and he was like, imagine wanting him to jump to the heavyweights when he could make the juniors more popular than they ever were before. And my response to this is...
I mean, that
is
the storyline that he is telling.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen in real life. we've been calling that... First of all, that's not going to happen because he is the star, but everyone else, like any other star we've seen in the last decade, has been moved up to the heavyweights, in the juniors. So, like, he's going to move up to heavyweights, ultimately. And he should. You know, you're not going to have somebody who could be the top star of the company feud with... Are you going to have him wrestle Okada and Naito and Ibushi, or are you going to have him wrestle Taguchi?
Yep.
You know, let's just be honest about it. You know, like, let's be real. And I love the juniors. I've always wanted them to take a step up, but we know that's not going to happen. They haven't pushed the juniors effectively. We saw what they did last year at Best of the Super Juniors. It was far from a rousing success, even when they tried to move up a little bit with Ospreay. And what happened right after that? Ospreay and Shingo moved up to heavyweight. So, like, they weren't even that successful. And they still moved them up immediately. So it is what it is on that end. I completely agree with you, though. Realistically, he should be in the main event scenes, not in the junior heavyweight title scene. But I just don't know if they see him at that level. And another thing, everyone was like, well, look, that they definitely see it in him. And Super J-Cast responded to me. Shout out to Super J-Cast, big New Japan podcast. And they were like, look at his year. Like, Gato definitely sees it in him. He's retired Liger. And my response to that is that was in a tag match on the opening match of the Tokyo Dome.
Mm-hmm.
That's not ace material. Like, again, it's cool. Like, that's great.
He didn't retire. Announced that half a year before that he would be retired.
In a tag match, again. Yeah. And again, like, that's cool, though. Like, that's a fine accomplishment. But that's not ace of the company. Like, this is the standard we're judging him by now. So he's a retired Liger, which, as we said, we can question that. what he meant to say was he was in his retirement match. You know, and that's cool, but that's not a main eventer, like ace of the company. He beat Ospreay. That's a foreigner, not an ace of the company. And then he beat Chi. That's not the ace of the company.
What are they eventually going to do with him? They have to push him as a big-time draw, because he is one.
I completely agree with you. Like, I think he, for because of himself, not because of their booking, I would argue, because of his talent, his amazing charisma, and his character. I don't think it's because of their genius push of him that has caused the fans to take to him. I think it's because of him. And I think he's going to get these reactions. Look at Kota Ibushi. He's never won the title, and I don't think he ever will at this point. You know, like, there's a good chance that he never will. And you think that he can't be the ace of the company? You don't think he's popular enough?
Sure he can.
Exactly. They've never went with him because he's not a chosen guy.
No.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, is Hiromu that guy? I don't think we've seen enough evidence at all. And actually, this match tells me that they don't see him like that. You know, imagine if Okada had lost right away to Tanahashi. Like, and that was the, and they sent him back to do a normal heavyweight run. They didn't do that because they saw him as the ace.
I don't know if they ever see Hiromu as the champion of their company.
Okay, then. Like, right away, they were on the same page on that,
yeah,
that end.
But there is no question to me that they will see him as a significant star. I mean, even though Kota Ibushi has never won the title, they see him as a significant star. Otherwise, he wouldn't have won the G1 Climax.
And that's fine. You know, sure. Like, but that's not, that to me, that's not maximizing his potential. Like, I remember last year when you said he was MVP, and I said there's no way that's true, and we saw how it's played out. Like, ultimately, like, to me, they don't see him at that level. And he, to me, he's not been pushed as much as Switchblade Jay White. Like, so, like, you know, what does that tell you? Like, right there. Like, and that, again, that's his guy. Like, at the end of the day, Switchblade, Okada. Now, he's been dragging Naito kicking and screaming, despite his merchandise sales and everything else that tells you that Naito should be a top guy. He's been dragged into doing this and never fully went with him, even. Like, you know, his title reign ends after one defense twice.
What do you want? You know? What do you want to say to that?
I'm just saying here because a lot of people were like, oh, he definitely sees it. But to me, I'm talking, like I said, I'm talking top of the company world champion level. And to me, there's no evidence that he sees Hiromu like that, and he should. Like, this match should tell you all
but,
the evidence.
But we agree. I don't know what it...
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just making a point.
I thought you were.
I'm not trying to, like, put you down or anything. I'm just saying, like, you know, significant player, you know, yes. That depends on your definition. Like, you know, Ibushi, significant player, yes, but not maximizing his potential. Will they maximize Hiromu's potential? I hope so, because I think he could really, he could be a big star for them. Like, elevate
the
company.
We're on the same page with Hiromu here.
Yeah, I'm not talking about you specifically. Okay. I'm just saying a lot of people have been saying that. And, like, to me, there's no, like, they're saying Gato sees this in him for sure, but you could argue he doesn't even see that in Naito. And, you know, I don't want to get inside his head, but to me, it's just, it's telling that they've never gone fully with Naito. And I think Hiromu's going to have a hard time getting into that mix because of how they booked him here, how they see him, what do they see him as. They went with the evil as the champion, so who knows what could happen. Nobody would have predicted
that. That is my problem right now, Dylan. That's why I'm not responding to you fully right now, because I really have no idea. what they are doing, except for what they always do.
Well, I mean, like I said, this is not what they always do, but this is not always the situation with the evil. Or, like, really? This is not always the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So who knows, man? Like I said, I guess you're right on that. Like you said, nobody knows for sure, and we'll see how it goes. But I was really disappointed, and I feel like they missed a big opportunity with Hiromu's first title match. I wish that they would have handled this.
It definitely was not the big title match that he deserved.
Yeah, and that's kind of my main, like, point out of all that. It was like, he should be at that level to where he is at the top of the company, gets his heroic moment and all of that. His first title, and that's the thing I think has maybe gotten lost by a lot of people. I just mentioned by a lot of these stuff, just like Ashino and All Japan. To me, your first title match is a huge deal in and of itself, like your first world title match.
Yeah, sure.
But that feels like that's not a thing anymore. In Japanese wrestling, and I don't know where it went. Like, you know, like, why did that stop being a big deal?
I don't know.
These are all questions we don't have the answers to.
I didn't really answer them. I'm sorry.
I'm not putting you down again. I'm not blaming you for this. I'm just saying, like, why did it go away, Striga? I'm lamenting the greatness of the past, the great first title defenses, some of which you can listen to on the Patreon when we talk about our week of lariats that we'll be talking
will
about.
There will be actually a week of lariats starting today with Yuji Nagata. We will be talking about his title runs in New Japan Pro Wrestling and elsewhere in Pro Wrestling Noah. For now, Dylan, I really have to cut this discussion short because it doesn't really lead anywhere, because we really can't say anything.
Nobody knows.
Nobody really can say anything about New Japan right now.
Yeah.
A lot of it is mind-boggling, in my opinion. Especially the evil run is mind-boggling. But that is about where we stand right now. And as you already said, I was closing the show, actually. But you went on this gigantic run, and I ran, and I can't really add anything to that because I have a lot of the same questions as you have.
I wasn't trying to attack you. It's some
like
people
it.
Out there. No, it's not you. I'm talking to the people out there, Striga. Like I said, you know, that not everybody, because you know, some people definitely agree with us. But I'm just saying, I got a lot of blowback on this. You know, like when I said I don't know if Gato sees him as a main eventer, a lot of people were questioning me.
Good. Okay. So you've now made your point clear. At least I hope so. So, yeah. We talked about a bunch of different companies on here. And I see your passion for Hiromu, and I absolutely love that you're so passionate for him, because I think you're clearly right that he is deserving to be a big star, and I hope that they see the same with him.
Well, I hope so too, Striga. I'm glad we're on the same page. And like I said, I knew that we were kind of on the same page. You know, like I think a lot of the Hiromu fans are too. We just gotta wait and see how it goes at the end of the day, but. At least we had a lot to talk about today.
We
weren't even supposed to do this show today. We weren't even supposed to record. Right.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
All right, man. So this brings us to the end of our episode here. Another long one. I hope you, the listeners, still followed along and still enjoyed this show. There was a lot of wrestling to talk about, a lot of business to talk about too. But for now, this is it. This has been the Eastern Lariat for now. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.